resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
The poets tell how Pancho fell.
This is going to be another incredible broadcast, but particularly so. I spent hours this morning riveted watching the press conference of the Republican congressional findings on Benghazi that dovetails with our own research. Of course, it goes a lot further. We've known since day one what Benghazi was really about, but this just confirms our own sources, our own whistleblowers. And then I spent some time this morning trying to read part of the report, but it's over 800 pages long. There's a supplemental report about the political actions around it and Hillary's emails admitting they had to cover it up, had to lie that it was a terrorist attack because they were 50-something days out from an election. Extremely powerful information, and if this doesn't bring Hillary down, nothing will. But after the break, I'm going to go into exactly why all this unfolded. If you go back to our first interviews with Colonel Schaefer and Dr. Steve Pachinik, and of course, a lot of other people like the famous CIA contractor whistleblower, Tosh Plumlee, everything they said has turned out to be absolutely dead on. And by the way, whenever I have Colonel Schaefer or Plumlee or other people on, who and Schaefer's been a contributor to Fox News, you know, they get calls from Fox reporters, and they're always wanting to go report on it, including CNN has wanted to report, and then they're told they can't. So the reason we get these incredible whistleblowers on and insiders is because other folks are just too scared to do it. Speaking of that, it was 2 years ago this month that Jakari Jackson and Don Salazar and the rest of our great crew, like Kit Daniels and the camera crew, John Bound, you name it, went down to the border and showed the illegals being brought in by the Border Patrol under orders and put on buses and shipped to Democratic Party facilities. We sent our crew back down there because finally local news is admitting that's happening, and our crew got some of the most powerful footage ever. Border Patrol agent admits that Obama orders them to ship people in with diseases. We have our reporters confronting illegals coming across. This is huge. But first, I want to play part of Nigel Farage, leader of the UKIP party, in the EU parliament, that's a ceremonial group, saying you're not laughing now.
Isn't it funny? You know, when I came here 17 years ago, and I said that I wanted to lead a campaign to get Britain to leave the European Union, you all laughed at me. Well, I have to say, you're not laughing now, are you? And the reason you're so upset, the reason you're so angry, has been perfectly clear from all the angry exchanges this morning. You, as a political project, are in denial. You're in denial that your currency is failing. You're in denial. Just look at the Mediterranean. No. As a policy to impose poverty on Greece and the rest of the Mediterranean, you've done very well. And you're in denial over Mrs. Merkel's call last year for as many people as possible to cross the Mediterranean into the European Union has led to massive divisions between countries and within countries. But the biggest problem you've got, and the reason, the main reason the United Kingdom voted the way that it did, is you have, by stealth, by deception, without ever telling the truth to the British or the rest of the peoples of Europe, you have imposed upon them a political union. You've imposed upon them a political union. And when the people in 2005 in the Netherlands and France voted against that political union, when they rejected the Constitution, you simply ignored them and brought the Lisbon Treaty in.
That's right. Let's fade that down. Now, later in the broadcast, if I have time, I'm going to illustrate the raw feed of what happened versus that BBC edit that's got about a minute left or 2 minutes left when they have the EU president confront Nigel Farage, kind of the Ron Paul / InfoWars of Europe. They're yelling at him and won't let him talk and calling him names when he counters them and says, yeah, you were laughing before, you're not laughing now. But when you go to CNN or BBC with the clips, it's like Farage insults them, is mean out of the gates, and taunts them. No, he was responding to them, screaming names at him.
corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on this live Tuesday, the 28th day of June 2016. Hard to believe this year is already half over. Where should we start? Where should we begin today? Well, coming up, we have Gerald Celente, the trends forecaster. We have Congressman David Brat, who, of course, defeated one of the Republican establishment minions and who is a populist firebrand, joining us to talk about a host of issues. And we're also going to have Paul Joseph Watson from London, England, hosting the Overdrive fourth hour. But I do want to also open the phones up in that third hour, and I'm going to try to open the phones up in this first hour and not hog all the airtime to myself. A lot has happened. Obviously, there's the new Republican Benghazi report. I watched most of the hour-plus-long press conference this morning and really couldn't find any fault with what they were saying, though they had one Republican female congresswoman, and she spoke so quick I couldn't write her name down. I want to go to the transcript. She goes, "We're just lucky Gaddafi's militia didn't strike as much as they stood down." And I was like, what? These were Wahhabist al-Qaeda people who'd taken over Benghazi, who were overthrowing the country and who had overthrown it and who were transferring weapons into Syria to take over the next country. And Gaddafi had been fighting al-Qaeda. Gaddafi had nothing to do with Benghazi. But other than that, I mean, the whole thing was pretty accurate. I haven't had time, obviously, to read the whole 800-page report. I've got a synopsis of it. We're printing off the report as we speak. But they did point out that you could read this report in less time than they stood down. But I'm going to get, in a nutshell, to what Benghazi really was. And it's the same thing I said 4 years ago, and it's the same thing that's now been vetted out and proven that we were dead on with our sources 4 years ago. But Obama didn't just order a stand down in Benghazi so that weapons could be transferred to Syria. And the ambassador and the security forces didn't all evacuate like they were ordered to. And the al-Qaeda folks showed up to get their weapons, and the ambassador did his job, and he was killed. And there was a stand down. It was the Benghazi security forces that came and did this. We've known that since the week it happened, from Colonel Schaefer, from Tosh Plumlee, from Steve Pachenik. I just had Steve Pachenik on again yesterday, but I'm really tempted to get him on for like 10 minutes today just on this report. In fact, let's see if we can do that at the start of one, just for one segment, his statement on Benghazi, because you can go back to Pachenik a week after Benghazi, or even less, coming on and laying everything out. Everything. And that's because he just has all the sources, all of them. Being someone that was one of the expert brain trusts with General Boykin and others, Schumacher and others, Shoemaker, setting up Delta Force and other units, and of course being the Undersecretary of Assistant to State, he honchoed so many operations that then he was able to immediately break down exactly what happened. But let me tell you, it's creepy. It's not fun to be first on so many issues and to be proven right. It's a very scary position. It's a very dangerous position. It's very frustrating to know that mainstream media has access to a lot of these same sources and chooses instead to cover up or focus on side issues. But I'm going to speak more about that today. But I'll tell you, watching that press conference reminded me of a lot of things that I'd forgotten about or kind of shelved in the back of my mind. And it also just illustrated how twisted the Obama administration and the Clintons are. Because I'd forgotten that the State Department withheld requested weapons to agents because they were not aesthetically pleasing. These people are so anti the image of a human with a gun to protect themselves that if a gun's scary looking, they don't even let their own protectors have them. That's the deep mental illness of these people. That's like George Clooney doesn't get the irony, or Michael Moore, that on average they have 5 or 6 bodyguards. There were news reports that one villa he has, it's over $100 million in Europe, has more than 10 armed security personnel when he's there. He has guys with submachine guns guarding him, but he doesn't want a single mom living in Detroit, Michigan, working 2 jobs to have a .38 revolver under her pillow to protect herself. He just gets up there arrogantly on TV and says, no, turn your guns in, you shouldn't be able to have them. And then he walks out off a set, there's guys in suits, former commandos, you know, with guns strapped to their hips. You go, hey, you got bodyguards. And they just go, shut up, right-wing racist. It's like Bono and U2, who's made billions of dollars. I keep harping on this because it's so incredible. He was giving less than 1%, and when he got in trouble for it, he gave like 1.2%. And he'd get up on TV and say, send us money. We're going to give money to starving Africans. It's so cold-blooded, but because he wears little trendy outfits and red sunglasses and acts all foppish and liberal, it's okay. It's like Kanye West saying, I'm broke, send me, you know, $25 million. And it turns out he's worth hundreds of millions and isn't broke. He just wanted to pimp his audience. He hates them. Why wouldn't you love your supporters and fans? I just don't get it. It's so upside down, but that's the nature of a predator. That's the nature of a Bono or a Zuckerberg or a Kanye West, as I call him, a.k.a. Gayfish. It's just frustrating. These people are so, you look at Kanye West's eyes, he is so immature and so evil and so narcissistic and so unhappy. He looks like a spoiled three-year-old. Ever seen a really spoiled three-year-old kid, little boy that has that angry little petulant potentate look in their eye? That's what he's got. That's what Zuckerberg's got. Who is at a, you know, press conference and goes, yeah, my users that trust me to not share their data are a bunch of dumb Fs. But unlike the famous, you know, Andy Griffith Face in the Crowd film, 1957, I just watched that last week again, it's so powerful, you know, that made him so famous, where he's like, you know, this supposed guy that cares about everybody, but he gets caught with a hot mic calling his supporters a bunch of dumb scum. I remember watching that movie when I was a kid with my mom. We were down here one summer visiting family in Austin. She took me to Paramount and saw it. I remember thinking, that's not really how that works, because somebody that's so popular with their fans and getting rich, you know, in the media with their fans should love their fans. It's like a plant loving sunlight. But as I grew older, I realized, no. The predators get off on doing bad things. The predators enjoy it. But look, I'm digressing. It's just that all these liberal supporters, particularly right now, because that's the, you know, that's the cutting edge of the establishment's attack right now, is via the left. They'll switch back to controlled right soon enough. Don't worry. That's what they do historically. But their fans, their supporters, believe they're on some winning bandwagon, and the joke is on them. The joke is on them completely and totally and really irrevocably in many cases, because people can't admit they've been conned. And look, I've told this story probably 100 times. I'll tell it briefly again. We're going to go to break and come back with all the news. When the whole Nigerian email scam started 20 years ago, I instantly obviously found out it was a scam. Just because someone's not going to say, send me $5,000, I'm going to send you $1 million. But people want to believe that they finally hit it rich. So 10 years into the scam, I would tell people I knew, even some family, not real close, but cousins, that it was a scam. And they would get mad at me saying, you're just jealous, I've got this opportunity, and I'm going to get to meet, you know, Prince, whatever his name is, at the point. And there was even a talk show host on GCN, like it was like 13, 14 years ago, who I didn't even listen to their show. I don't listen to hardly any of the shows. I'm too busy. But I heard they were saying, yes, I'm going to have millions of dollars from this Nigerian prince. Somebody told me. So I called them up. I got their number from the network. And I said, listen, that's a well-known scam. you're not getting $10 million. I said, have you already sent them some money? And I said, let me guess. First it was $1 million, you sent them $5,000, now it's you sent them $20,000, you know, you get $10 million. Well, yeah, how do you know that? I said, because it's a scam. Well, later, when the person didn't get the money, they got mad at me on air and said, I must have called, in this case, Prince Abubu, actually called Abubu, and I had stopped them from getting the $10 million. And if you understand that mental illness, you understand everything. If you understand that level of derangement, people don't want to admit, hey, Obamacare was supposed to be free. It's doubled, triple prices. Hey, there are death panels. You don't want to admit black unemployment's doubled under Obama. You don't want to admit that he's run by foreign banks and is about as liberal as Adolf Hitler. I'm not talking to our general audience, but to new listeners. I mean, you are conned. There is no debating. There's no way you can argue that we're wrong. We have the facts. And then your answer is like, what, are you for the Republicans? No, I'm not for the establishment Republicans. And look at how they're working with Obama. I mean, all of this is so clear. So if you don't believe me about the Nigerian scam and want to call me a conspiracy theorist, I mean, that's really what it is. A lot of mainstream media, it hit me today, are really fiction writers for the establishment. They know they're con artists. They've taken over the world with fraud, and they hate those of us that start questioning their narratives that have been proven to be faulty, disingenuous, and deceptive. And we're just here questioning known liars. They call that being a modern heretic, which is a conspiracy theorist. Well, I'm honored to be called that. We'll be back with the rest on Benghazi.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
You know the new Muslim mayor of London? The guy that has announced they're not going to let any images of women in bathing suits be on the side of buses. That's how it's starting. He's just ordering you can't have any images of women in bikinis or bathing suits or short dresses in any city-owned buses or advertising space. And he said that they need to not be, quote, Uncle Toms about Islam. He has come out. And he has said that in the Evening Standard, quote, take back control. How do you pronounce his name? Sadiq Khan calls for more powers for London to protect capital after Brexit vote. And you read it. What it is called mutualization. Arnold Schwarzenegger, 6 years ago, when the global carbon treaty failed because it got leaked that it was a total fraud. They were hiding the decline in temperature. Remember all that? Arnold took over the UN program for mutualization. You know of it as strong cities when it comes to the UN police and border takeover system. But in this case with mutualization, they just go in and wine and dine the mayors and the leaders of cities and get them to sign on and basically pay them off to agree to citywide carbon taxes, regulations, zoning, and Agenda 21. And that is basically what this mayor is saying in a lengthy article. He's come out and said, we must take control of our own destiny, override what the rest of the country and the federal government's doing, and we will just tell everybody that's here illegally or whatever you want, stay here. That's why almost unanimously Muslims voted to stay in the euro, because it's working with them to conquer the continent. You cannot make the magnitude of this up. The mayor, Khan, today called for London to take back control of its own destiny. The aftermath of the EU referendum, the mayor issued a demand for more tax-raising powers. Oh, yeah, how great. Right now, more taxes, right now. Yeah, 75% taxes in London on average aren't enough, as well as far-reaching command of public services. Absolutely, give us control now, my power. His de-evolution wish list stopped short of calling for London, the only English region to vote, stay within the EU as a city-state. But he stressed the extra powers would be necessary to protect the capital's economy, jobs, and prosperity from the uncertainty of the Brexit ahead. Yeah, the city of Austin is a municipalized city, and it is basically under UN regulations. And we just covered this yesterday. ABC News goes, oh, yeah, the United Nations is telling us prepare for more refugees from Latin America. And then you read deeper, the UN runs, and we have the Border Patrol saying on tape, yes, the UN sues us, the UN is down here monitoring us, the UN is basically telling Obama what to do, and then Obama comes out and says, I'm not going to enforce. In fact, I'm going to load illegals with diseases on buses and ship them into the U.S., even after the Supreme Court rules you can't do it. And Jakari Jackson and Don Salazar and Michael Zimmerman have just done over-the-top great jobs. They have interviews with Border Patrol, who, by the way, have a lot of courage. Border Patrol has said before Congress, if they speak to the media about what they've been ordered to do, they are reprimanded, fired, or even arrested. They are indicting Border Patrol agents, claiming they violate national security when they expose they've been ordered to stand down and violate law. But I guess the Border Patrol now has the Supreme Court behind them and have just gone too far. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not dehumanizing the poor people trying to get here from their collapsing hellholes. The globalists are bringing him here unvetted to collapse us. That's the plan. So I'm not against taking people in the lifeboat, but the lifeboat's going to sink. We have to vet people. We have to test them for diseases. Every other country in the world does that. Mexico tortures you if you're caught there illegally. But they're allowed to come up, get on trains, stay on one major conduit out of Guatemala. This is on record. And to come up to Texas, Arizona, and California, that's it. If they get off and they don't comply, they are put in forced labor or they are tortured or they're a woman. They are almost universally raped. There's an Amnesty International report out today basically saying that the majority of Mexican police and military are raping women. And all I'm saying is, why is it we only hear that America is evil and bad when by so many metrics, we're a really good country of good people, no matter what color we are? Why is it all day we don't give enough, we don't pay enough, we don't put up with enough when we are the most? But then it's also now hard to become a legal citizen because they don't want you doing that. They want to make it illegal because the Democrats can then manage that illegal group and protect them, but make them their slaves. And that's what this is.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
When you live under a tyranny, the government believes its authority is absolute. There are many different political combines that want total control, want dictatorial control, because they're in a battle with other elites for total global domination. And, well, little people, we don't even register in their analysis. That's why we have to not comply with corruption, not comply with arrogance, not comply with tyranny, and not make it easy for these oppressive historical systems to be established. Because once they're established, they only go downhill and they begin to eat themselves. And folks go, well, good, they'll fall. But when they fall, it kills tens of millions of people in ancient times. In World War I and World War II, 30, 40, 50 million people died per event. In global depressions, tens of millions die. Conservatively. 7 million here alone in the Great Depression from starvation. Look it up. We have a very short memory. We just sit here going, hey, everything's great. The local bar is always going to have beer. There'll always be food at the grocery store. As the elites start retreating to their bunkers and with private security firms. As scores of nations every few months collapse into complete bedlam. From Western Europe to Eastern Europe, to Southern Europe, to Africa, to Asia, to the Middle East, to South America, to Central America, to Mexico. Pretty much the majority of Mexican cities have collapsed into lawlessness. Mass graves are found everywhere. Students protest, 35 are killed, another 20 are killed. It's not even in our news. There's a few little bubbles, protected zones like Cancun, where the elites themselves have agreed not to kill each other, that the crime rates are tenable. And that's the same model we're now going under here. I want to get to these reports that our reporters filed that are up on Infowars.com. I want to get into what really happened with Benghazi and the latest, quote, findings that really aren't new findings. But I think it's helpful to illustrate that we've been lied to, but also to look at the incredible arrogance of Hillary scores of times telling the public one thing, oh, it's about a YouTube video, and behind the scenes saying, we've got to cover up these optics. We don't want to blame this on Arabs. That's politically incorrect. Because they were busy creating an Al-Qaeda proxy army to overthrow Assad next. And the ambassador would not give the three warehouses of missiles and high-impact weapons to the Turkish ambassador to be delivered to Al-Qaeda, now known as ISIS, and so he had to die. So everyone was told to evacuate. In the weeks while the weapons were being stockpiled, support was pulled more and more until there was no one there. And then they said the ambassador had such courage. All the security was pulled for weeks, down to nothing. And then he stayed. Well, he stayed because he wasn't going to go along with the transfer. And the Turkish ambassador left angry that morning, and what started a few hours later? That's Benghazi, folks. That's what happened. They had him killed. I told you that the week of Benghazi, and that's the little piece. Of course there was a stand down. That's all come out. We told you that 4 years ago. Because we have the sources that were there. We have the sources that were watching at CENTCOM and AFRICOM, watching with their own eyeballs what was happening on those feeds. And SOUTHCOM could see it, and NORTHCOM could see it, and everybody could see the drones for 13 hours circling, 8 hours of firefights. And then we sit here and have all these commissions and reports to figure out Hillary Clinton's lying. And they're calling it, you know, in Politico, final Benghazi report details administration failures. They talk about that evil, demonic chipmunk meets the Joker, Hillary, that man in drag. They talk about how she screwed up. She meant to go to Libya and make it a failed state. She meant to go to Libya and destabilize it and bring in Al-Qaeda. She meant to do that all over the Middle East. That's the deal they made with Saudi Arabia. That's the program. That's the operation. That's what they're doing. Everyone, oh, Hillary's so inept. Oh, Hillary's so bad. She's such an idiot. No, Hillary thinks you're a moron. And I watched all these male congressmen up there making really good points off the commission. And then there was this female congresswoman. And again, I meant to write down her name, but she was off the stage. And it was this Republican going, and it's horrible that we stood down. What would have happened? It could have been much worse if Gaddafi's militia would have attacked. And I went, because I was kind of halfway watching while I was lifting weights. And I went, what? And that's why we're in trouble. Because I've seen polls where 30-something percent of Americans think Gaddafi ran Al-Qaeda. Gaddafi was fighting Al-Qaeda. Gaddafi, 8 years before, made a deal with the West to invest all the country's money with, like, BP and Halliburton and for a return for their population to build infrastructure. He brought in all the Western hotels. He said, I'm sorry, I'll pay reparations for fighting you for 30-something years. And they set him up, folks, to put Al-Qaeda in charge. And you're like, well, he deserves that. Really, the people of Libya deserve to have Al-Qaeda killing him? We talk about Obama-loving Africans. Al-Qaeda is one of the most racist organizations out there. Going back to Arabs running the slave trade, look it up. They killed Muslim blacks, everyone they could find. Look it up. Look up Al-Qaeda or rebels in Libya killing blacks. Because they're like, hey, this is our North Africa. Africa doesn't belong to black people. Nowhere belongs to you. Go to the moon. We're going to kill you. And they also know that black Libyans tended to be loyal to Muammar Gaddafi, who I don't endorse socialism, but if you're going to have it, it could be under Gaddafi. Because the guy lived in a tent, and his palace was like an 8-foot wall with a swimming pool, looked like a blue-collar house. And he distributed 99% of the oil money to build infrastructure and just with lotteries to the public. Just here's money, boom. 65% of their college graduates were women. He was sending money all over Africa to build wells and aquifers and power stations. They killed him better than a hammer, folks. Now, this World Net Daily, Obama-backed rebels killing Libyan blacks. And that's why Louis Farrakhan, who knew Muammar Gaddafi, finally came out against Obama. And said basically, you know, to hell with Obama because he killed Gaddafi. And that's absolutely true. I mean, for all Gaddafi's problems, he was a honorable, brave, good person compared to Barack Obama. And a true anti-racist. And that's what our elite did to them. And it's the same thing with Assad up there. Everybody living in peace, women going to college, industrializing the nation, opening up to the West, bringing in Western money, going, okay, I'll start transferring out of power. We'll have elections. And they double-cross them and bring in al-Qaeda to just wreck the whole place. I mean, let me tell you something. Syria before the Civil War 5 years ago that the West started was an incredible place to live or visit. I've talked to folks. Europeans loved it. I mean, they say the most beautiful coral reefs, the most beautiful markets, the most nicest people. Well, the globalists don't like non-radical, foaming-at-the-mouth Muslims. Because the truth is, up until about, 600 years ago or so or less, Syria was Christian, one of the oldest Christian communities in the world. And the truth is, most of the Arabs there, most of the Muslims there, even people that had come in later as Arabs, they were secretly practicing Christians and had been crypto-Christians, as it's called, forever. And that's why Saudi Arabia continues to invade them. They've invaded them 3 times in the last century, Saudi Arabia has. And they just start killing everybody and bringing in their new settlers because they know full well that's why Assad goes to the Christian masses. It's why he goes in Easter and Christmas to the churches, because let me give you a little newsflash. They're Christians, folks. They're Christians. They're Christians. And they've kept it under occupation off and on for hundreds of years under the table. Just like the Russian church was never completely extinguished. So I'm going to stop right there because I need to get into Jakari's reports. They're very powerful and more. They're up on Infowars.com in full. Briefly, talking about taking action, Adan Salazar wrote an article last week, top trending question on Google for a week. Is Hillary Clinton going to jail? And then we go through the fact that on CNN and everywhere else, Fox, people are standing up with Hillary for prison shirts. It has had a really, really, really massive effect. So I want to commend everybody. In fact, we found another article that's similar to it. This is from Breitbart. We can actually put our InfoWars version of that up. Top trending question on Google, is Hillary Clinton going to jail? I want to put the Infowars.com version of that because it's a larger article and actually shows screenshots for TV viewers and videos of people all over national TV getting in the shot with the Hillary for prison shirt. Folks hacking highway signs all over the country, not just in Texas now, putting Hillary for prison up on them. I don't really condone that, but I mean, whatever, she is a dictator, would-be dictator. By the way, former Secret Service agents come out and said she's a dictator. Yeah, there's our version. Let's scroll down, and then you can see screenshots of it. You can see the trend over the last few years, how it's now one of the top trends. And then you can scroll down and see how Donald Trump's now picking it up. And then below that, we have the highway signs getting taken over, people on CNN, all of that. It's very, very powerful. That second-generation shirt sold out. Version 3 arrived today, this morning, on an 18-wheeler. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's the best version yet. It's just a good, clean Hillary for prison 2016. Looks like the election shirt, like the last two versions. But on the right-hand shoulder, it says Infowars.com, very handsomely in red. And on the back, it says Hillary for prison. On the back, it says legalize freedom Infowars.com. So I think it's the most handsome shirt we ever put out, and it absolutely rattles them, shakes them up. You'll meet like-minded people. And, again, it just sold out a day ago. We have the new version in. If you want it, InfoWarsStore.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. This is about solidarity. It's about meeting like-minded people. It's about really seeing the power of the InfoWar. And by the way, I love the fact that there are literally hundreds of sites now selling their own versions. Copies of ours, variants, I don't care. Great, wonderful. Buy it somewhere else. Just whatever you do, ladies and gentlemen, get an InfoWars shirt, get a Molon Labe shirt at InfoWarsStore.com, spread the word, go out in public, practice the First Amendment or lose it. Separately, Deep Cleanse, that is just a whole spectrum of compounds that are known to absolutely pull toxins out of the body. You can read about the science, see the informational videos and more at InfoWarsLife.com, where we have our nutraceuticals. But this has it all. And it just goes in with the zeolites, with the Shilajit. The Shilajit is basically herb oil from hundreds of thousands of years. They say millions, but who knows the real earth age. From Russia, from the Himalayas, we have both sources, totally organic, that just comes out of the rocks in the summer. That is so ancient, it's just thousands of different species of plants. They're ancient oils, and this is what was discovered back in the 50s. They thought the Russians were on steroids during the Olympics, and they kept testing them and couldn't find it, and then it turned out it was Shilajit. And the Shilajit alone is just, no one knows why it's so amazing. This is true Russian, or depending on which batch it is, we have to go both places. Himalayan, it's the same thing as Himalayas. Shilajit, it's in Deep Cleanse. It's one of the key ingredients in there, and it's amazing. That's 20% off. That ends tonight. InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139 or call toll-free. Also, you can go to InfoWarsHealth.com. That's all the great longevity products. When you buy the products there, you get big discounts, and the profit we make from that also helps fund this operation. So InfoWarsLife.com to get our nutraceuticals, InfoWarsHealth.com to get the great full-spectrum discounted longevity products. Now, continuing here, let me get to this news. These videos and articles are up on InfoWars.com. They really are a huge deal because we know Obama's been shipping people in from all over the world and advertising to come here for many years and ordering the Border Patrol to stand down. It started with them ordering the Border Patrol not to pursue people or to go and pick up trash instead of, you know, grabbing illegals or drug smugglers. And now it's just moved, confirmed the last 3 years that we broke because the Border Patrol contacted us. And I'm not bragging about that. It's very sad that we broke it. That in places like McAllen, Texas, they order them to stand down, to load them on buses, and then the feds are ordered to give them money, vouchers to go anywhere they want in the country. They're not checked for diseases, none of it. And I was thinking about this morning, while I was in the shower, I was just thinking, how do I come up with words? I'm going to skip this network break. How do I come up with words strong enough to describe the over-the-topness of this? I fly in from Isla Mujeres via Cancun from fishing with my family and snorkeling Saturday, and they give me not the third degree, but we all get interrogated. And I'm looking at the guy, and he sees on the screen I have no criminal record, and I go, I'm just looking at him like, okay, But see, I'm a milk cow. I'm a slave. I got to be kept in line. They want to attract new slaves to the flypaper. The slaves come in, the slaves don't go out. And so it's like, everything's free. Come here. It's wonderful. Hum dee la dee, an actor's life for me, you know, like in Pinocchio. Come on the slave ship. It's fun. Yeah, you're going to be a jackass too. Here, take a Gardasil shot. You'll never have a child again, sweetheart. None of this shot works properly. Enjoy all the uterine problems and ovary meltdowns you're going to have and the ovarian cyst. We love you. La Raza's not going to warn you. It works for somebody special. Who's running the operation down there right now to make sure you end up in a mass grave? Oh, I'm sorry. The government loves us. I'm sorry. That is, people running our government do not love us. Our low-level government's very good. And so I was sitting there trying to come up with words this morning to 22% of the people that the government's vetting and bringing in to Minnesota alone, Associated Press, have TB, and most of it's drug-resistant or drug-immune, and is killing people. And it was on the news today that they are, in all these states, complaining that people are getting sick because they're sticking these kids in elementary, middle school, and high school. I mean, think about a federal government. It'd be one thing if they grabbed folks, tested them, held them in some center, and then just let them go. That'd be illegal, and the Supreme Court has ruled it's illegal. But it'd still be kind of like, okay, whatever. They don't even allow the Border Patrol to hold them or check them. They just give them a voucher, in some cases worth $1,000, for food at Greyhound facilities and Greyhound buses. That's just one of the vouchers they give. And in some cases, it's private bus lines. They have contractors in big, beautiful buses, nicer than the bus I get when I go around with my crew. I mean, these are like $1.5 million buses. I'm driving around on a $150,000 bus. I'm not complaining. But, I mean, it's just like, wow. I mean, just Rolls-Royce-level quality. And they're coming in, and they look completely happy. They're like, wow, thank you. You're so nice to me. I mean, I don't dislike these people, these desperate people. I have humanity, but my humanity is being manipulated. If you had humanity for these women and these children and these men, you would test them for the hundreds of parasites, for the drug-resistant TB, and for all the other stuff, the whooping cough, the polio. That's bad in Latin America, folks. That's really bad down there. And suddenly, you can type into the news, CDC admits diseases once that didn't exist in the United States are now back, like polio. And their answer is, take the polio vaccine, which no one had to take anymore because it was gone, supposedly. And then the polio vaccine's dangerous. I mean, I'm just going, man, these people are really out to get us. I mean, the globalists run America. Obama's the boss. It's his house, supposedly. But the elites that run this country want to bring it down. They really want to destroy it. And I've always known that's their aim. My first film was America Destroyed by Design. 1997, 18 years ago, 1997, almost 19 years ago, shot some of it in 2000, some of it in 1996. But the point is, it's 17 to 18 years old. And I say, there is a plan to destroy our republic and free market by design. Here's their plan to bankrupt us, third world populations, cutting off our resources, cutting off our factories, cutting off our coal. And people go, yeah, I see this film on YouTube. And they go, how did this young Alex Jones at, you know, 24 years old know all this? I didn't know it. The UN and the globalists write the white papers that UNESCO puts out as policy versus their PR. But they got a battle plan. It'd be like if, you know, some guy was planning to rob a bank and he had a plan to do it and it fell out of his pocket and I found it. And then I brought it to the police and they said, well, okay, we have the date. They're going to rob it. We're going to stake it out. And then sure enough, he pulls up with his people in a van to rob it. I mean, we have the battle plan. We have the codes. It's like knowing the Japanese are going to attack a year before and doing nothing, you know, in World War II or whatever. They just do a week before and did nothing. I mean, this isn't my opinion. But still, I get why the population couldn't believe it. That you mean they ship them in and give them money? Well, yeah, then they advertise, come here. That's why the numbers are getting so big. Just like they advertise in Europe, come here, Arab Spring, come here. There are the EU allowed ads to be put out saying, we have blonde women for you and free money. This is the plan, folks. And it's so crazy. And in Europe, they don't test for disease. So let's go to this first Jukari Jackson report. But just think about this. The Border Patrol is now talking to our reporters, and they've been on congressional reviews where they get indicted, they get fired, they get reprimanded. It runs the gamut for speaking out. Why did the Border Patrol talk to us? They usually blur their faces out. You know, we usually do it sitting there at their headquarters or in their truck, talking to them off record and scrambling their voice, and they trust us. They know that we come, edit it, scramble their voice, and destroy the files. Now, the Border Patrol is just like, yeah, we'll talk to you. Sure, yes. We're ordered to ship people in with diseases. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play just a short clip of this and come back with all of it, but this is Border Patrol agent. Vast majority are released into country, disease or no disease, and the real headline is Border Patrol ordered by Obama to let people in that have diseases. Here it is.
Jakari Jackson here in McAllen, Texas. We ran into Chris Cabrera. He is the vice president of the local Border Patrol Union. Now, Chris, recently we saw the Supreme Court that struck down Obama's immigration policy. Do you think that's going to affect what you guys see out here on the border?
Yeah, you know, I actually do. Just by the initial ruling, it affected people coming out here. More people thought that they had to be here by a certain date. Nobody really knew what that date was. It was more of a phantom date. And now that it got struck down, people don't know what's going to happen if Donald Trump wins, if Hillary wins, or whoever takes office. So more people are starting to come and surge in even more so just because they need to beat some phantom deadline. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Trump there, does the Border Patrol have any particular view of the wall, for it, against it, indifferent?
You know, the wall, as far as a Border Patrol aspect, is it's a tool. You know, it's something you can use. Granted, it's not a be-all, end-all stopgap measure, but it is something that can slow people down or funnel them into a certain direction. However, if you just have a wall with no manpower on that wall, no electronic surveillance, you know, no helicopters, nothing, and then it's pointless. When we first put that wall up, we had an 18-foot wall. We started getting 19-foot ladders on a daily basis. We had so many, they had to tell us to stop bringing them into the station and destroy them in place.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. Now, as far as the Border Patrol is today, do you feel that the Border Patrol as a whole has adequate resources to combat what you guys see out there on a daily basis?
No, I don't. You know, I mean, it's one thing that we don't have enough people and enough resources, and then you have the layers upon layers of bureaucratic red tape that makes getting anything done in a timely manner almost impossible.
Okay. And as far as crime on the border, do you think that pretty much the way it is now, is it allowing people who are criminals or people from terrorist organizations to enter the country more easily?
Well, you know, one in five people that we catch has some type of criminal history here in the United States. On top of that, we only catch 40% of what's coming across as actual in this area. So that's 20% of what we catch are known bad guys. You can only imagine what the other 60% of people that are coming across, who they are or what their plans are. We have no idea.
All right, hit pause. I went to this a little bit late. We come back to Bombshell, where he talks about we don't test them for diseases. We're told just release them into the U.S. That is the Bombshell. It's coming up. Second hour is 70 seconds away. Infowars.com.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
So we're told we're a nation of laws, and citizens have to get interrogated and have to have all these papers even fly around inside the country. But when you get across the border illegally, you're not sent to a refugee center. You're not tested. None of that happens. You're just given money and vouchers and sent deeper into the country. And our reporters broke that 2 years ago. And it was picked up by ABC News finally down on the border, admitting, yes, there's a huge wave. The UN runs it. They're coming in. And so Jakari Jackson went down and talked to the Border Patrol Union head. And he was talking to the gentleman in the clip we were just playing, sort of getting into the fact that a good percentage of the people that come in are already known criminals. They're only catching 40%. So let's go back to the rest of that clip where the Border Patrol union head there in McAllen, Texas, in that sector, gets into the big issue that they're ordered to not test people for diseases and just let them go into America. Folks, if a hospital knows you have TB and they don't give you treatment or test to see if it's drug resistant, they're held liable as felons. But our government takes these people in under political correctness and puts them in schools next to your kids and doesn't even do the favor of testing these kids to even get them well. That's meant to weigh down the economy, weigh down the culture, weigh down the country, and bankrupt us. This is an attempt to take the country down, just like they're doing Europe right now. Here it is.
Now, as far as the Border Patrol is today, do you feel that the Border Patrol as a whole has adequate resources to combat what you guys see out there on a daily basis?
No, I don't. You know, I mean, it's one thing that we don't have enough people and enough resources, and then you have the layers upon layers of bureaucratic red tape that makes getting anything done in a timely manner almost impossible.
Okay. And as far as crime on the border, do you think that pretty much the way it is now, is it allowing people who are criminals or people from terrorist organizations to enter the country more easily?
Well, you know, 1 in 5 people that we catch has some type of criminal history here in the United States. On top of that, we only catch 40% of what's coming across as actual in this area. So that's 20% of what we catch are known bad guys. You can only imagine what the other 60% of people that are coming across, who they are or what their plans are. We have no idea. The interesting part is they're not staying here in the Rio Grande Valley. A lot of these folks are using it as a waypoint to move forward, whether it's the people themselves or drugs. It's all going through the area, and it's going into larger communities like the San Antonio's, the Austin's, the Dallas, all the way up to Virginia, Maryland, D.C., Chicago. They're all headed that way. So we do have an issue as far as the traffic coming through, but the crime is being spread out evenly across the United States.
And on that topic of the drugs, it's not just people coming over, but bringing drugs on a general, let's say a month. What type of drugs do you encounter and what quantities?
The most common is marijuana. We see thousands upon thousands of pounds weekly. We do see a lot of cocaine. We're starting to see heroin and meth a lot more. Usually those were reserved for the ports of entry, but now they started running those across the river as well.
And as far as the people coming over, are your agents encountering any type of infectious diseases, people with illnesses as they cross the border?
Oh, most definitely. We see tuberculosis pretty regularly, scabies. More often than not, we have large amounts of infectious diseases as far as scabies go. And the interesting part with that is it's not actually seen on the body during the infectious period. And so these people clear through our system, and then they go into the rest of the country with that disease. We see a lot of measles, a lot of chickenpox, a lot of unidentified illnesses that you know, a lot of lung infections that we have no idea what they are. And again, that's just what we catch.
Right. Okay, now we've seen reports of the quarantine facilities at your Border Patrol stations. Some reports saying that they're just a piece of yellow tape. Since then, has the situation improved at all?
No, not at all. You know, we do still have the yellow tape. Sometimes they use a red tape. I don't know if there's any significance there. We do have nurses and doctors that are on staff that are there. But as far as a quarantine facility or an actual method of treating these people and really quarantining them so it doesn't spread, we don't have that.
Yeah, they just released them. The full interview is up on Infowars.com. We've got more. Our reporters actually confront the illegals coming up.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
So our reporters are down in McAllen, Texas, where they first 2 years ago documented, thanks to ICE whistleblowers, that the government ships in the illegals. It's a UN program. They told us that, and that's in ABC News this week. Now admitting it's a UN program, they advertise, come to the U.S. The people get here desperately from Central South America, China, the Middle East, Africa, Eastern Europe, you name it. They get here. The Border Patrol's ordered to get them, give them basic medical treatment, but don't treat any diseases like TB or bubonic plague or scabies or any of this, and then just give them money, vouchers, and load them on buses. That's finally on ABC News 2 years after we broke it with our own video. So we sent our crew back down there, and what did they catch? Drugs being shipped across. That was a few months ago when they went down there. Yesterday, just people pouring across anywhere they are, just randomly, giant groups of people. It's so massive. And then they talked to the Border Patrol union head of that sector, Mr. Cabrera, who's got courage to even talk, even though he's the union head, because they persecute people that do this. And he says, listen, we don't even test them for diseases. We're ordered to let them through. That is such a vicious act. Ellis Island was about quarantine to make sure people weren't sick or got well. If you care about these people coming in who are just being used as pawns, you don't just let them come across. If you went into a doctor's office and they didn't, you know, treat you for TB, you are culpable if you let them go. This is drug resistant. So I want to play that clip and ask Gerald Celente about this first and look at other trends, the Brexit that he, of course, predicted and others did. What that signifies, they've officially announced an EU army to block countries leaving. That's the headline on Infowars.com. Brexit insider, EU army being established to block countries exiting. They're saying it themselves. Unelected bureaucracy. In fact, here's the actual headline. I'm pulling it up right now on Infowars.com. We might check this. I saw this today and I saw it yesterday on a lot of platforms. I think Infowars is getting slow. We need to check it. Brexit insider, EU plans occupational army to keep nations from exiting. And they've actually put the proposal out, the super state. I can't even believe it's getting to this point. Covering up Benghazi, shipping in illegals with diseases. The Supreme Court says you can't do it. They move ahead with it. I mean, what are the elite really trying here? I mean, are they this inept? No, they're working hard to do this. But here's that clip on the infectious diseases. It's bombshell.
And as far as the people coming over, are your agents encountering any type of infectious diseases, people with illnesses as they cross the border?
Oh, most definitely. We see tuberculosis pretty regularly, scabies more often than not. We have large amounts of infectious diseases as far as scabies go. And the interesting part with that is it's not actually seen on the body during the infectious period. And so these people clear through our system and then they go into the rest of the country with that disease. We see a lot of measles, a lot of chickenpox, a lot of unidentified illnesses that you know, a lot of lung infections that we have no idea what they are. And again, that's just what we catch.
Right. Okay, now we've seen reports of the quarantine facilities at your Border Patrol stations. Some reports saying that they're just a piece of yellow tape. Since then, has the situation improved at all?
No, not at all. You know, we do still have the yellow tape. Sometimes they use a red tape. I don't know if there's any significance there. We do have nurses and doctors that are on staff that are there. But as far as a quarantine facility or an actual method of treating these people and really quarantining them so it doesn't spread, we don't have that.
And is there any type of policy, anything in the works to help you guys better identify and possibly even treat what's coming over?
Well, you know, what we do is we send them to the hospital. They get cleared, and unfortunately, we release them into the country. The vast majority of people that we catch, probably 80%, if not more, we release into the country, disease or no disease.
All right, now let's stop right there. Disease or no disease, 80% we release. Felons, you name it. And then the Border Patrol takes them to a center to then have them deported. Obama just releases them. I've studied history, and I've never seen anything this insane. But it's a policy. Europe's doing the same thing. And now they're putting them in schools next to kids. That's in the news. People say, oh, why aren't you being nice to these poor immigrants? The globalists have a policy to destabilize things. I want to ask Gerald Celente why he thinks this is happening, then get into the Brexit. It's a short interview with him today. We have a congressman coming on as well to break down a lot of this. But what is the short and sweet of it? Gerald Celente, because clearly we know the white shoe boys from Harvard think they're God and are incompetent in many ways, but they're competently doing everything evil they can. I mean, if they were just incompetent, they'd do some things right, some things wrong. I mean, they seem to really have an evil genius for doing the most over-the-top, horrible stuff to bankrupt the country. I mean, all these local cities are going bankrupt at their hospitals and facilities and having to house these people. What is going on, Gerald?
Well, you know, in staying with the in listening to these interviews about the people pouring over the border, but yet they rob us of our rights every day, from the Supreme Court to the Supreme Commander in Chief, every politician out there, all of our Bill of Rights, constitutional rights, robbed from us in the name of protecting us from them lone wolves and them terrorists that are just lurking out there, ready to pounce on us as people are pouring over the border, as you're showing and proving by the hundreds of thousands. and they can't stop them. But yet they keep coming out with this lie that their intelligence is going to prevent the next terrorist strike, and how we should honor all of those people that are doing everything they can to protect us by listening to every phone conversation we have, by listening to everything that we do online, offline, walking down the street, going to sleep, whatever you buy, everything they do to watch us, rob us of our rights. And then you got this fraud going on with hundreds of thousands of people, millions, when you add them up, flooding over the border. They can't stop, don't even know who they are, and they keep coming in. So how come that's not being brought
up? What is the method of the madness? I mean, what is the plan? Because they're following the exact same plan in Europe, too. I mean, this is a plan.
Well, the plan is, again, you know, it's when things break down, that's their excuse, as you were pointing out, to have that EU army to keep you in check. So when things break down, then they come out again and say, we got to protect you. We got to stop this from happening. It'll never happen again. So that's what they do. They create the violent situations, and then they cover it up by saying, we're not going to let this happen again. Yeah, but you created it.
And yeah, because we've had the death of common sense, they never get held accountable that, I mean, used to, they do something 5 years before and then pretend to save us 5 years later. Now they do it 1 month, block the FBI from actually stopping real terrorists, but then take more of our rights after the terrorist attack who they allowed to come in. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, and then again, when you look at the entire picture, when you talk about terrorism, you know, if I was born in Iraq or Yemen or Libya or Syria or Afghanistan, and a foreign country came in and bombed my whole country into ruins, killed everybody that I love, and I'm a young kid, my parents are dead, my aunts and uncles, everybody, my friends, I have no future. You think I'd be radicalized? You think I'd want to blow the brains out of the people that blew the brains out of the people that I loved? And then they say, we got to stop this terrorism from happening. You created it. And they're creating this situation. Look, go back to the Great Depression. When the Great Depression came about, they stopped immigration from coming into this country. You couldn't come into the country after World War II. I had relatives from Italy that couldn't come over. They had quotas. They stopped it to stabilize the nation after the Great Depression because the people here didn't have jobs. We certainly weren't going to bring others in. So this isn't about Mexicans or Muslims. It's about common sense. And the common sense is, if your house is full, you can't get any more people in the doors, you ran out of food, you're going to bring more in? So that is the issue. But going back to the whole immigration issue, by the way, and I've been writing about this since the mid-80s, it was the National Association of Manufacturers, when we had manufacturers, and then later on, Silicon Valley, the con men out there.
Yeah, they want to drive wages down, even though it ultimately will destroy their own market.
Yeah, they brought in all the cheap labor. That's what they wanted. And they got it. And now our whole standard of living's declined. And that's what the Brexit vote was about. You look at the facts, it's the data, not making it up. Major issues were the migrants coming in from Romania and Poland, cheaper labor, putting the people out of work. And the second thing is, they didn't want to lose their nationality. And how dare you don't want to lose your nationality? You should become vanilla. EU will put you in a vanilla package, and you, how dare you want to maintain your ancestral heritage? That's what the vote was really about. And the people had enough of it. Oh, and there's this other great con going on. Now they want to do another vote. What do you mean you want to do another vote? You lost the other one. Oh, no, but we don't like losing because we're the establishment. Could you imagine if that vote went the other way and they voted to remain and the people that wanted to leave called for another vote? They would be laughing at them. But as you call them and I call them, the prostitutes and media whores, no, because the establishment wanted to remain. Even Obama went over there. And if you're going to get bad in the back of the queue, if you leave, Abe went over there. all the Jamie Dimons, the White Shoe Boys, all telling him to stay, and they left. Now they want a new vote, and they're actually trying to make this legitimate. Oh, you lost the ball game?
And we predicted they'd do that because, listen, France and others voted to leave in 2005, and they just said, sorry, can't. So we've already seen the EU, as people try to get out of it, become more dictatorial, and I just can't believe they're actually saying, we're creating a new army, and it's going to take over your army so you can't leave. I mean, this is, we haven't seen stuff like this since Hitler, and it's got all these weird leftist groups promoting it. What is this weird, because you know, I'm not right-wing or left-wing, you're not either, you're like a political atheist, I'm just into liberty. What is this new love affair that the left has with radical Islam and with totalitarianism? Because, I mean, we attacked Bush for what he did, but my gosh, the left worldwide seems like they have gone stark raving mad. That's one question, A. Then B, Gerald Celente, top trends forecaster. I want to ask you this question. I know you write about it at trendsresearch.com. You wrote decades ago about when the meltdown happens worldwide in the third world first, they will flood the borders and that could completely swamp civilization. Well, even a new FEMA report has come out dealing with 395% food spikes being a possibility starting next year and then running through the next decade. So that's over a decade, folks. It's not in 1 year, but it's still ultra massive. And they talk in the report about the crisis causing a global collapse from crop failure to system failure. Well, they've got, as you wrote about 5-6 years ago with Arab Spring, they manipulated the prices in North Africa, knowing that when prices go above 50% of your paycheck going to food, that causes civil unrest. So they're manipulating civil unrest then posing as the savior. So it's pretty clear they're orchestrating global meltdown to get more control. But it got so bad, they were so arrogant, the EU was meant to collapse financially, and then a super state was meant to come out of that, holding them hostage. I mean, that's what Davos admitted. Instead, the member states see it coming, because you and others in UKIP are informing them, Drudge is informing them, others are informing them, and so the people are informed, they're pulling out beforehand. The global government project is in deep trouble. Now, that's a lot, but please tackle it.
Yes, the global government is in deep trouble. The central banks have failed. They've run out of, they don't have any weapons left. Look, a study just came out by the United Nations, as you know, last week. This is the greatest migrant refugee crisis in world history. Bigger than World War II. It's just begun. All of the 65 million people have fled. It's bigger than World War II. Now, let's just do the numbers. Back in World War II, there were 2.3 billion people on the planet. We now have added 5 billion people since. Now, let's go around the world. Hey, how about Nigeria? Oh, yeah, the biggest country in Africa. What, 147 million people?
There's more than that now.
Yeah, and the economy's collapsed. Oil prices collapsed. They're leaving. There's a revolution going on. Go to Venezuela, take a trip to Brazil. Go around the world, Ghana, South Africa, Zambia. Name the country, name the place.
Greece, Italy, Spain, Portugal, the UK, everything's unraveling. Right here in the U.S. with Cook numbers, we have a 1.8% growth rate. That's a depression.
So that's what I'm saying. The whole thing is collapsing. Now let's go back to the Orlando, what happened there a few weeks ago. So one guy ostensibly goes nuts, and it's a big issue. Let's stop this from happening again by robbing us of our Second Amendment rights, as if that would have anything to do to stop anything. I'm making that point because when the next explosive element hits, they're going to use it as an excuse to take more of our rights away.
That's right.
And to keep us down, quiet, and put in place.
So the big trend, as you've been saying, is they're coming after the guns, they're coming after the private property, they're coming after the cash, they're coming after the farmers' markets, they're coming after true sustainability. The good news is I'm seeing more and more local police departments and governments start to actually figure this out and openly realize that the federal government's run by a bunch of multinational criminals who plan to absolutely bring us to our knees.
That's what the Brexit vote was about. It's no different whether it's the European centric, the EU or Washington. You know, what do you got? A bunch of clowns over there? A chorus of what? 536 congressmen and senators telling 320 million people how to tie their shoes? I mean, who made this stuff up? So it's no different. So, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, 1778. You know, I mean, come on. You know, it's a whole different world right now. We don't need these people to run our lives. And by the way, what's going on now with the Brexit, I want to read this to you. This was 8 days. It was our trend alert, which I'm sure you guys got, 10 days before the Brexit vote. On a broader socioeconomic and political scale, with anti-immigration and anti-EU populism movements rapidly spreading throughout Europe, should British citizens vote to exit, we forecast similar direct democracy referendums igniting across the continent to leave the EU, swiftly leading to the dissolution of Brussels' central government control, elimination of the euro, and a return to national currencies. The war has begun.
That's right. And now, within 2 days of it happening, we're now 5 days in, eight countries have lined up, and the polls show they're going to exit. I just got chills, Gerald. And the EU unelected bureaucracy announced, we are ready to take your military over. You can't leave. That is so sensational. So give us your forecast. What do you expect the arrogant bureaucrats in their own la-la land to do next?
They will fight and do anything they can to remain in power and rob us of our rights. They will start wars. They will enslave their own people, rob us of more of our rights.
They'll start race wars.
Everything. You name it, they're going to do it. They will do anything to remain in control. And again, you know, GC's 3Gs, guns, gold, and a getaway plan. You know, you never know what's going to happen. And you see what's going on with gold. And if you well know, we've been forecasting this, you know, as you have.
Oh, yeah. The elites have been hoarding it while telling us not to get it. That's why I didn't sell any of my gold and bought more. And I told listeners, I don't know what's going to happen, but my gut tells me it's going to go up over time, which is starting to do. Let me ask you this then. We see FEMA internal reports getting leaked where they think 395% food price increases is what they're wargaming in the next decade. Now, that's year by year, but that's still ultra massive, as you know. Just 10, 20% a year will cause, you know, riots worldwide. And they talk about civil unrest, collapse of society, while they stockpile weapons and guns. What do you think they think is going to happen? I mean, are they going to trigger an implosion, or is the implosion already begun, and they just think they're going to ride it to power?
They can't stop it. It's the central banks have failed. They have negative interest rate policies, negative, 40% of the bonds being sold. You buy the bond, and when you cash it in, you get less money, and you can't make this stuff up. Negative yields, the White Shoe Boys.
And then meanwhile, I predict that you will see the mainstream media admit it's gone bankrupt, and basically even the facades will be taken down now, because they literally have 6% trust rates in polls. They have no viewers or readers anymore. I predict in the next year you're going to see massive media collapse, more than you've seen the last 10 years combined, Gerald. You can stick a fork in them. You can see them only intensifying their lying, and it's not working. What do you think about my prediction?
Well, I think you're right to an extent, but they still have a lot of power because it's the mass media. And so we're talking about Brexit, for example. 2 days before the Brexit vote, only 26% of Americans even knew about it. And so what I'm saying is
they're lying by omission.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is they still have a lot of power, even at that low level, because they'll put out the main message. But of course, they're losing it. And people like yourself and myself.
No, I get it. They can still unify and push a fraud, but the frauds deteriorate in a few days now. Usually take years to expose them.
Exactly. Now, the other issue, what you were saying about the price of food, it's not that the prices are going to go up. It's the value of the currencies are going to decline.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's what we're looking at.
So they're spinning it. It's not that food's going up. It's the money's going to devalue.
You got it. So it's not a supply and demand issue.
Well, see how everything's a deception. That headline's a deception. You're right. It's devaluation will make your food cost more, not that food prices are going up.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to say about the central bank failures. Because what you're seeing now, the great fear of Europe, and you mentioned the other countries, France and Netherlands and Italy and others that now want referendums to leave. Oh, and you had a... They had an election in Italy with the Five Star Movement, 2 weeks ago. A woman, Virginia Raggi, won the mayor. She became mayor of Rome. They won in Torino. The five-star movement.
Incredible.
Power.
Incredible. Gerald Celente, please come back for a full hour next week. You can do it. TrendsResearch.com. Invaluable information, folks, for people that want to be informed. Thank you so much, Gerald. We'll talk to you again soon. We have the Congressman, David Bratt, joining us. Stay with us.
Before America can be great again, she must be free again. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Living in the limelight, the universal dream, for those who wish to see. Those who wish to be must put aside the alienation. Get on with
well, he's the guy that beat Eric Cantor, even though the power structure threw everything they had against him. And he's the best-selling author of American Underdog. And as I said when this happened a few years ago, this is a major bellwether for populism, not just here, but all over the world. Classic Americana populism became the model of freedom worldwide after our victory that was kicked off in 1776. But by the year 1800, the United States became the model of countries that wanted to get away from tyranny. And most people know who David Bratt is. I don't have to go into his whole bio, but we're excited to have him on with us till the end of the hour. Then I'm going to open the phones up in the third hour and get into the new Benghazi report that's just shocking and so much more. We're also going to get into our reporters that are down on the border that have talked to the Border Patrol who admit that they're ordered to release people that have TB and scabies. I mean, it is just sensationally over the top. And it's getting worse since the Supreme Court ruling came out because people think that's going to stop them, so they're just flooding. But Obama says he's going to ignore it. This is just really hard to believe that a president would do something like this. Why not? If you're going to bring people in, why not get a medical treatment at least? I mean, you know, that's what they did at Ellis Island. People always say, Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island. Okay, well, they had quarantine there, real quarantine. We're going to talk to Congressman David Bratt of davidbratt.com here in just a moment. Before we go any further, just briefly, last week, for an entire week, and it's one of the top trends for the last few months, is Hillary Clinton going to jail was the top search term. Also, massive uninformed people that haven't really been in the system or haven't been voting that Trump's talked about, they're starting to get informed. That was the second most searched term, millions of searches a day. What party is Hillary Clinton in? So, I've talked to the Trump people. It's a report I haven't put out yet, but they've got internal polling that shows Trump's really actually ahead when people aren't scared that their name's going to be released. So again, there's this intimidation that you're going to be called a racist. That's what's going on. There's a lot of closeted Trump supporters who need to come out of the closet. But let's just digress from that and go to somebody who is a successful individual who's taken action, and that's our guest, David Bratt. But look, we've sold out of two versions of these. They sold out a few days ago. We have the third version in. It's collector's edition. It has Infowars.com on the right soldier. On the back, it says legalized freedom, Infowars.com on the front. Hillary for prison 2016. This is the meme that Trump picked up 8 months ago with our listeners at his rallies. This is the meme that has folks on CNN, Fox News on camera and people hacking highway signs and saying Hillary for president. Please don't do that, folks. But I mean, this has become a big meme. And info warriors who got the shirts, you are the reason this is going so viral all over the place. This has really reached critical mass. And I've got an exciting announcement to make. And we're going to our guest. We've sold 50,000 of these. Now you'd think, wow, that ought to fund our operation. No, I've got 50 plus crew members, just hired more reporters. It's very expensive to run a news operation. And we do it not with advertising mainly, but with self-funding, true populism, non-GMO seeds, t-shirts, books, videos, G-Shock watches, optics at really low prices. Non-GMO, high quality, storable foods, InfoWarsStore.com. Things like that, things people need. And we have sold a lot of these shirts because a lot of times we're selling them for sale for $9.95, sometimes at cost for $5. We're not doing this with this current batch because we need to fund our operation. Please support the InfoWar. You see the effect we're having. These are $19.95. They're printed and produced right here in America. It supports the broadcast. It's the third version of the shirt. It may be the final version. Hillary for President 2016, InfoWarsStore.com, or call toll-free 888-253-3139. The other shirt has a five-star review. There's no reviews on this because they just came in today. If you want to support the broadcast, get the shirt today. We have the Deep Cleanse, also herbal system with the Shilajit and the zeolites and other things that pulls out toxins. Incredible detoxer. I don't look like a movie star, but I look a lot better than I used to, and it's taken Deep Cleanse and things like that that have done it. It's 20% off. That special ends today. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, you can also get all the longevity products at InfoWarsHealth.com. But I'm going to stop right there. Now, talking about a true populist, the book is out. It's already a bestseller, American Underdog. He is the guy that, of course, shot down Eric Cantor, the big establishment compromising Republican, in the vein of Boehner having to leave and, you know, all the rest of these people. So exciting. And DavidBratt.com, again, is his website. Thank you so much for coming on with us. For the next 20 minutes till this hour ends, I'd like to give you the floor for your view on populism, what's happening in Congress, and where this country's going. And do you think Trump is neck and neck, ahead or behind? What does your gut instinct tell you, Congressman?
Yeah, my gut, well, I think you set it up really well right there. I mean, you look at the Brexit thing right now. I'll just start with that because it just shows you that this thing is international in scope. And my book highlights three pillars that made the United States great, but it equally applies over across the pond. The Judeo-Christian tradition, and then the rule of law, and then the innovation of the free market system that has to be chosen. And Britain was first to the punch on all that stuff, right? I mean, they preceded us. And now Brexit, it's just interesting, the commentary. Brexit by itself isn't enough to ensure success. They have to go back to restoring their culture, which is the Judeo-Christian tradition, and then the rule of law and restoring their borders, and they have to go back to free markets. If they continue doing the socialized thing and the PC thing like we're doing, there's no clear path forward for them either. And so it's just amazing to me see the same exact stuff going on here on the rule of law, our borders, immigration was a huge issue. I ran on, Trump is running on it. It's 80% issue, and the leadership in Congress, they're not tone deaf. They exactly know it's a huge issue, but they're just scared. After the Romney loss, they went to this autopsy report, and that report basically taught us that we should all be scared of our own voters instead of being courageous. And so in the budget last year, instead of doing refugee, you know, cutting off all the hot spots and state sponsors of terror, they didn't put that bill in. Brian Babin and I were working on that. Instead of doing that bill, they increased H-2B visas by 400%. And so there's your rule of law. In terms of the Judeo-Christian tradition, religious toleration is becoming a safe zone where you got to sign up before you can go to church, it looks like. And then on the free market system, not much in D.C. is free market at all. It's all cronies and elitists running the world either from Brussels or else from fancy hotspots around the world. But none of it's being run through constituents back home in our districts.
And, of course, a contemporary of yours would be somebody like Nigel Farage, you know, a true populist, a patriot, a true conservative, a nationalist. You know, he gave a speech to the Parliament of the EU yesterday that's ceremonial. He said, look, you're not laughing now. You were laughing. I'm getting from you, Congressman, the Washington rhinos and Democrats and liberals, they're not laughing anymore. They're more scared. Why don't they just embrace what made us great? Because they've got to see the writing on the wall. No amount of illegals they're shipping in or no amount of jihadis, you know, that they think are their babies are going to counterbalance this populist awakening. Or am I being too optimistic, Mr. Brett?
No, you're being too optimistic, but you're right. I mean, if you got a patriotic sense that you do, but the one variable you're missing is the one I taught for 20 years in economics, just always follow the money. And so if the people want a certain outcome, but it doesn't help the elitists control $4 trillion a year in the budget, it ain't going to happen. And that's what's going wrong, right? We don't have term limits. We got folks that are just shooting to be leaders in D.C. for the sake of being leaders, but they're not leading on the main levers that will move our country into better
direction. Sure, they're listening to the elites and not the people. So let me ask you this question because you bring it up. And I never used to be on the whole bandwagon, you know, just obsessing on Islam all day. But now they've opened us up to it. They're bringing in the most radical elements. The Evening Standard's reporting, the new Muslim mayor came out. I'm sure you already know this. It happened last week and said, no more women in bathing suits or scantily clad in billboards in London on buses or government property. He goes, we're going to start bringing in Sharia law, basically. And now he said, we're going to take back control of London and ignore it and bring in more foreigners and basically make a breakaway state. He's actually saying this. I mean, this is seditious. And I see the left truly allied with Islam, with Orthodox, which is aggressive jihad Islam. And I used to hear this 5-10 years ago from conservatives, and I'd go, you guys are being overboard. Look, I know there's terrorists and stuff, but you know, our elites aren't going to ally with this. I'm sorry, Obama and others have allied with it. Am I wrong, Congressman? What's going on here?
No, you've nailed it, but there's some severe splits and contradictions coming up on the left. You just identified one of the huge ones, and that's what I try to outline in the book, right? I go through the Western synthesis of basically reason coming out of the Greeks, lining up with a Judeo-Christian tradition, and ISIS across the way doesn't know of this tradition in any way, shape, or form. And so our guys, Madison and Jefferson, were utopian in some sense. They were conservatives and knew that human nature is fallen, but they thought they could design a system that would separate power such that we could have religious toleration. What they could never envision a day where a certain religion would be intolerant, period.
Yeah, they thought freedom would be so popular, nothing could compete with it. But when it meets psycho cavemen who don't even understand it, what do we do then?
Yeah, well, and that's right. And but the guys back then, it was reasoned freedom, right? It was freedom in the pursuit of truth and reason, and we've left that part off. Now it's just the 60s freedom, do whatever the heck you want. And so that's
what are the liberals going to do when they're trying to say Trump is homophobic and it's his fault Orlando happened, when this guy's a jihadi and a Hillary supporter? I mean, they seem completely conflicted, as you said.
Well, and deep down, I'm friends with the Democrats up in D.C. too. They know it's not true. He's been in Manhattan for 50 years, right? And all of a sudden this week, he's all these bad things. I mean, they all smile up there. They know that's not true, but it's just the left doing their thing.
Wow. Congressman David Bratt is our guest. Tell us about the book, Underdog. I haven't read it yet, but I intend to, because obviously your success story, what you did to the Republican establishment, I would say is the big chink in the armor, was the first big bellwether in this cycle.
Yeah, well, the main frustration, I taught economics for 20 years, and I taught 20-year-old, you know, kids sitting in front of me. They were just awesome. We had fun every day. And I went to seminary before I did my PhD in economics. I always taught them you got to put ethics and economics together. And, you know, that gathers a chuckle these days. People think it's cute. But I meant it. We've racked up $19 trillion in debt. There's $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And the next generation is not going to see Social Security and welfare.
Yeah, where are the ethics? We're totally screwing ourselves now and the next generation. Right. And they just say, oh, who cares about them?
Right. And so everything these days in the modern world has devolved into just this policy debate, right? Policy, policy, policy. And if you lose your culture, it doesn't matter what you try to do on the policy front, it's gone. So you've got to restore those basic institutions we had. Harvard, when it was founded, their motto was truth for Christ and church in 1640, right? When the Puritans, who they mock today, founded Yale, Princeton, Harvard, Stanford, et cetera.
Yeah, I love how they mock the founders who actually made them so great.
Yeah. No, that's right. And then Jefferson and Madison, went to, roughly speaking, Princeton Seminary and studied Hebrew for kicks. And so these were hugely educated folks that put basic first principles down on paper and made us the most successful, richest, and the most just country, right? If you want to look at women's participation in the workforce, civil liberties, political rights,
And the left, what I'm going to call the left, the totalitarian mental patients, invert that and claim we're the source of all the evil. Why do they do that?
Because, right. And that's the funny part. The left, they can't name a serious philosopher of note that they use to ground their system, right? I mean, they got Karl Marx and Rousseau and a few other lefties from Paris or something. But we're losing to a tradition that can't name a serious moral philosopher. And so that tells you we just don't have the fight in us. You know, and most conservatives are just decent people. They go into business and make a living. They just assume well, of course, the, you know, the Judeo-Christian tradition is going to be around. Free markets, we're always going to be free to do this, and the rule of law is fine, and everyone will, of course, respect the police until none of those are the case anymore. Right now, if you say God bless you to a kid that sneezes in school, you get reprimanded. And the whole thing is being assaulted step by step by step. So I try to lay it out in the book and show people how these things have made us great in the first place and then show the assault on these basic institutions.
Well, absolutely. And then the corruption in the system uses that corruption to further bring down what was good in the old system and to bring in more tyranny. It's like the UN and their Strong Cities Initiative. And the Justice Department comes in and corrupts police with unconstitutional actions, then turns around and blames all police nationwide, and then attempts to globalize them and federalize them. It's just incredible.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And last week on the no assault rifles for people on the terrorist wait list, and the left forgot a couple key features. One is no due process, but more importantly, guess who was going to be in charge of the private secret list?
That was going to be this jihadi guy, yeah. who said to the FBI he wouldn't work against fellow Muslims.
Right, right. And the AG, Loretta Lynch, right, is going to be like she's targeting conservative groups along with the IRS and the Obama administration, and we're supposed to trust them to be the school monitor over truth and goodness. I don't
sure, but I forget
so.
His name. I saw the article in Breitbart and a bunch of others a few days ago. The guy that was going to run the list for her is a Muslim.
Oh, got you.
Yeah, yeah. Who with the FBI wouldn't go after jihadis.
Right. No, I know. It's inverted, right? And so Obama's goal at the outset, I think most of us were somewhat aware of the anti-colonial leanings, but his view is if you downgrade the United States, the world will be a better place. And that he's working on that systematically. Instead of, after World War II, the United States and Britain and France set up the modern liberal order, Bretton Woods, and worked with our archenemies, Germany and Japan, and we were trading with them and had good relations, and it was a win-win, and now it's the leftists are taking control, and those relationships are falling apart.
That's right, and again, Hitler was a socialist. You can call him a fascist, but whatever. He came from the left, a command and control guy. So was Stalin. And they sit there. I mean, they don't understand. The left, historically, look at the French Revolution. It was a nightmare. They just run around murdering people. I don't know what's wrong with them.
Yeah, well, and that and the getting rid of history in the K-12 agenda right now is one of the most troubling things. And so that's another reason I put the book together, American Underdog. Proof that principles matter, right? And that's what I'm trying to show the kids, that these principles will affect their life, period.
Absolutely. I'm finding the youth are very hungry to find the truth. And people should get your book. They should put it in libraries. They should get it out to everybody because I want to talk about the election, where you think it's going, and where Obama's going with the open borders, ignoring the Supreme Court. I mean, there's got to be... Will Hillary get in trouble for Benghazi? What about the new report? We'll hit Benghazi and a lot more. Final short segment with our guest, David Bratt, davidbratt.com. I'm Alex Jones with Infowars.com. Get your Hillary for President shirts. They're back in. Dr. Steve Pachenik, who sometimes had to come on for 6 months, sometimes comes on 5 days a week, is going to be popping back in, former head of PSYOPs for the State Department and one of the founders of Delta Force, top counterterrorism specialist. He's going to pop in. He was our source a week after Benghazi that laid everything out of what really happened. A lot of it from really secret sources. He even got a visit from the FBI over some of it. Colonel Schaefer got called in, got shoot out. He was on that same week, basically told us the same thing. Tosh Plumlee, many others. It goes beyond Hillary screwing up. She sat there for 13 hours because they were going to transfer the weapons and the ambassador wouldn't do it. And so they just pulled out all the security. And then some security said, no, we're not pulling out. And that's why they weren't able to go in and just take him out quickly. So that was about shipping weapons to Turkey and then to Al-Qaeda, later ISIS. Okay, we're going to talk to him just for 10 minutes next hour. And then I'm going to your phone calls, 800-259-9231. Now, Congressman, I don't want to get you in hot water here, get into subjects like that and going further with Benghazi. But Hillary's lied about it all. Her emails show that. Where do you think this is going? Because if she gets away with this, doesn't this set the precedent for anything to go, sir?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And, I mean, the left kind of just says there's no there, but their 800-page report and the few new pieces I've heard coming out today seem pretty significant. And those guys, if you got Gowdy and Jim Jordan telling you something, they're truth tellers. They don't mess around. And so I think we got the real deal this time.
Well, what do we do then? Move for hearings on Hillary? Or, I mean, does a grand jury indict her? What do we do?
Yeah, well, that's they're going to have to follow up, but we're having a hard enough time taking out Koskinen and the head of the IRS. Our own leadership has to get in on the fight. And I heard one of the guys today, I don't want to identify him, but he was saying there's a little hint that our leadership is not in any hurry to get into a fight over this. So we got to convince them it's the right thing to do. And we haven't fought 7 years against Obama. I came in a year and a half ago on the unconstitutional amnesty, and we still haven't put up a fight on that one. And so that's why the people are getting fed up with our brand right now. They want to see a fight. And so I'm not on that committee, but I'll encourage a fight every bit along the way.
Well, we know you're in there fighting. Speaking of that, the Supreme Court says, hey, you got to follow the law. So Obama comes out and says, I'm not going to follow it. And it's beyond just not enforcing. They complete the smuggling process, as you know. And we just got new video, Congressman. We'll send it to you. With the Border Patrol in McAllen saying, we're ordered to ship people in that have TB and scabies. Right. I mean, that's sensational. Obama orders Border Patrol to ship in TB.
Yeah, no, I mean, the problem with that issue is it's just huge. The passports, the refugees, the open border, the drug channels, the ISIS channels. And it's just too much. But I think we're getting to a critical point. The folks in D.C. are starting to get the memo, and there's enough. The average person at home is starting to see the impact. When you're paying the tax bill for all of this, and all of a sudden you see your state and the governor doesn't even know there's facilities all over your state, people being shipped in. I've heard they get to change states based on their feelings these days. So you can guess where I'm going with that one.
Oh, listen. They don't even, most of them just get released to Democratic Party facilities.
Yeah, no, I've been following in Virginia. We're keeping our eyes on several facilities in my own 7th district.
Yeah, they won't even tell our governor the numbers. They won't even tell the governor of Texas the numbers.
Yeah, well, so this, you're getting to the key point here is our government is demand-driven, right? I mean, ultimately, the citizens have to get fed up. And so you're educating people, I'm educating people. That's what's got to happen. And we got to educate the next generation that you got to put up a fight if you would like to keep living in this country the way it is.
Well, Congressman David Bratt, you're one of the best up there, davidbratt.com, the new book, bestseller, American Underdog. Absolutely. We really appreciate you. Thanks for joining us, and I hope to speak to you again.
Thanks, Alex.
There he
goes. Hey, Allison, I just want to say it's DaveBratt.com, just so your folks go to the right thing. No David.
That's right. DaveBratt.com. Thanks. That's right. Dave Bratt, not David. Dave. GCN. Dave Bratt. Thank you, Congressman.
Visit GCNLive.com today.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Came in last night at 10:30. That baby of mine wouldn't let me in, so move it on. Changed the lock on our front door. My door key don't fit no more. So get it on over.
Move it on over.
Scoot it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, skinny dog, cause the fat dog's moving in.
Welcome back.
This dog house here is mighty small, but it's better than no house at all. So ease it on over.
I ask a lot here on air.
Drag it on over.
Where is all this going? Why all this lawlessness? Why all these attempts to bankrupt the country? Well, we're run by big central mega banks that control trillions in made-up assets, trillions in real assets, who control the issuance of currency and credit worldwide, who've established a planetary three-part world government that they're now rolling out publicly. And they need to go ahead and just break our will. They need to just go ahead and set the precedent that they can do anything they want in any way they want at any time they want. That's the attempt. It is a breaking of the will. And that's what this London Evening Standard's reporting with the new Muslim mayor, who says you're not going to show women in bathing suits anymore on billboards or buses. And we're going to promote Sharia law. And we're going to ignore the Brexit, and we're going to bring in whoever we want, and this will be our own country. That's why they had radical jihadist imams that call for killing gays and killing women and all the rest of it coming out in support of the euro. Because the euro is allied with that, because it's allied with totalitarianism. It's allied with evil. And I'm not going to sit here and be lectured anymore. First, he said the buses were declared glory to Allah. And everybody's like, oh, isn't that cute? Then it's, by the way, you're not going to show women in bathing suits. Or next will be, don't show women's faces. Isn't that just the cutest thing you've ever seen in your life? And then I'm sitting here as a libertarian, as a patriot, as a constitutionalist, conservative in many respects. You mean conserve the Bill of Rights, conserve the Constitution. The left, you know, gave him coverage. They gave him left cover saying, oh, he's moving to ban body shaming ads from London Transport. Remember the liberal groups wanted in New York the beach body ad that just shows a woman that I would even say is anorexic, but she's a little skinny for my liking. I like the classic va-voom look of a Marilyn Monroe, the voluptuous type. But, hey, whatever. I like the mature woman. When I was 16, I wasn't attracted to the other teens. I was attracted to the college girls. And college girls look like little girls to me now. I'm not attracted to them. But the point is that it's an issue of taste. You want to put a woman in a bathing suit. It's not fat shaming. That's seen by a lot of young people as what looks good, looks like a Barbie doll. That's your right as a company to run that ad. As long as it's not deemed obscene by other standards. And if the TV can show it or whatever, that's fine. But they start with city-controlled things. And then notice, no, it's Sharia law being phased in. And you got the left there allied with it saying, oh, yeah, we need to have fat shaming. Shut down. So that's just some of what's going on. We're going to cover Benghazi for one segment and one segment only with Dr. Steve Pachinik, because he was on in the week after Benghazi and laid out everything that really happened at Benghazi. And so did our other guest. And I just want to tell you, I mean, we were right again. We were up front again. We took the risk again to put it out there because it's our job to break the ice, like an icebreaker for the rest of the fleet to come in. That's why I don't care about being criticized or demonized or even lied about, because I realize it's a mission against known criminals. I'm in a war. I know I have personal integrity. I know I'm doing my best job I can to tell the truth. I'm not always totally accurate, but by design, I try to tell the truth.
Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
The toll-free number to join us coming up in the next segment, the balance of this hour, before Paul Watson takes over from London, England in the fourth hour of Overdrive, is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Now, sometimes we have Dr. Steve Pachinik on every 3 or 4 months. Sometimes he comes on every week. Sometimes a couple times in a week when his expertise is absolutely needed. He was on, and if you go back to the week after Benghazi 4 years ago, when we had Colonel Schaefer and a few other experts on who broke down what really happened at Benghazi. There was a stand down. They did pull the security out in the weeks before. The Turkish ambassador was there. There was an argument over would weapons be shipped into Syria. Did Ambassador Stevens say no to that, so he had to be taken out? Or were they just tying up loose ends so that there'd be no witnesses to the three warehouses of MPAD missiles, Stinger missiles, anti-tank tow missiles, things like that. That's what I've been told by Tosh Plumlee and everybody else. And Tosh came on a few months after. And by the way, he'd have the Justice Department call up and threaten him right after that happened. He talked about Hillary and her foundation and using the State Department to transfer the weapons out and to be able to get around export bans. All of this has turned out to be accurate. But Dr. Steve Pachenik, who was high level in the State Department, you can go through his bio on that, one of the founders of Delta Force, ran the Camp David Accords, is a medical doctor, psychiatrist, also has a degree from MIT. I'm going to stop right there. People know who he is. We've only got 10 minutes before we go to break, so it's a quick report from him about this new report that Congress has come out with, which I don't really think has too much new in it, but it kind of codifies a lot of it together. And then you see Congress scared to go the next step of saying, hey, you did this on purpose, and you were caught lying, you witch, when it's completely evident. So in the final summation, what really happened from all your sources and intel, Dr. Steve Pachenik? Because you hit it right on the head 4 years ago. Well, 4 years later, what are the optics now?
Well, the worst optic that I can tell you and the audience is the fact that no one man will be more responsible for the ascension of Hillary Clinton to the presidency, not Trump, not even Hillary Clinton, than Trey Gowdy. That man was so incompetent, so stupid in arising and creating an 11-hour interrogation of a Secretary of State who correctly identified that none of the areas within that secured area was really State Department. In fact, it was CIA, DIA, MI. And the people who should have been held accountable was not Eric Boswell, who was the Assistant Secretary for Diplomatic Security. It wasn't Pat Kennedy, who's the Undersecretary of Management. Both of them worked for me. They only follow orders. The people who should have been held accountable was Hillary Clinton for having gone into Libya. But Gowdy never discussed this issue, never went into the real problem of how she created a chaotic state and a terrorist state. The building itself was not a State Department building. It was a secure consulate, which basically goes under the CIA. And in the movie 13 Hours, you see it brilliantly. They basically say, look, we have 23 operatives here. I won't identify who they are. As well as the fact we have diplomatic security, and on top of that, we had mercenaries who had been SEAL operatives. So who's responsible for this? The person who was the director of the CIA at the time was a General David Petraeus. We never heard a word from him. And subsequently, after we had put him into the CIA, Obama blew him out for having said that this man had a sexual relationship with his biographer. So he's at fault. Then we have Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, who was also director of the CIA and knew very well that he had ordered a stand down to every one of his military officers, including Martin Dempsey, who should have intervened because, in fact, there were.
So your issue is it's not just Hillary, it's a whole bunch of people. And why did they invade Libya? Why did they back Al-Qaeda?
Here's the problem. The problem is the Gowdies of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. They do not spend the time to learn the issues. They do not spend the time to understand the issues, but they have no problem asking for $12 million from the American public to initiate an investigation which had nothing really to do with Hillary Clinton. If anything, Gowdy has insulated her so well that no one else in the political campaign, particularly in the Democratic campaign, could have done a more brilliant job of showing Hillary to be stoic, resilient, forceful, and calm. When I watched that over 11 hours, I said, this man, Gowdy, has to be an absolute moron. He has to be the stupidest prosecutor I had ever seen in my life, because what he did for free, or cost us $11, but for free for Hillary, was to basically guarantee her ascension to the White House.
So what would you have said if you were Gowdy and had the Secretary of State in front of you? What would you have said? I mean, points you would have gone into.
I wouldn't have brought up the Secretary of State. She had nothing to do with it, nor would I have brought up Pat Kennedy or Eric Boswell. I would have brought up the DCI, the director of the CIA. I would have brought up Susan Rice, National Security Advisor, who said that there was a video that went on. I would have brought up General...
Okay, so you're saying they're actually, and I know you don't like Hillary Clinton, but you're saying they're scapegoating Hillary Clinton.
Well, what I'm saying is worse than that. Look, I have said a lot of negative things about Hillary, and I understand her exceedingly well over 20 years, but I grant my opposition the traits and talents that she has. She's tough. She's resilient. She knows how to work under stress. And what he did, Gowdy, as a prosecutor has to know his witness. He has to understand the psychology. What he did is what we call a bear trap. In the financial markets, he fell right into the trap and he got caught. He didn't know what he was saying. He had no idea of what he was talking about. When in fact, she was basically displaying everything she had always.
Okay, well, let's get back to this and get away from Hillary for a moment. What is the bottom line? Is what you said 4 years ago?
What is the bottom line? Nothing will happen. Ambassador Stevens unfortunately went on his own. Whether he's also a member of a three-lettered agency, I don't want to say. But my suspicion is he wasn't just an ambassador in the State Department. The State Department did the best it could. It had no real jurisdiction over a consular service or an entity, which is really under a covert operation, which belongs primarily to the CIA. And it's right there in that movie, 13 Hours, when the CIA, DCI, and the station chief said, listen, you've got 8 hours of drones on me. When are you going to give us help? And the military refused that help. So you've got Panetta and you've got Martin Dempsey to answer for those questions. It's not an issue for Hillary Clinton. It was not an issue for Pat Kennedy. It was not an issue for Eric Boswell. It was an issue for General Hamm, who was head of AFRICOM, and the Navy admirals, who were only 2 to 3 hours away. That's the issue.
Okay, well, then who ordered the stand down then? What was the whole goal of Benghazi? What really happened?
What really happened in Benghazi was the fact that they were putting in a unit which they knew could not be an embassy. And instead, they used it, as we use all over the world, a place which is under the jurisdiction of the CIA or DIA or MI, military intelligence, to make it a covert operation in a place where they had transfer of guns going into Turkey and Syria. That's a legitimate entity within our covert operations within the intelligence community. What is not legitimate and was not appropriate was the fact that Hillary, Susan Rice, and Samantha Powers, all three women, the tripartite of incompetency in the White House, decided to take down Gaddafi. That's the issue that should have been analyzed and handled. Neither one of them, including the DCI, Petraeus, knew how to take down Gaddafi and understand the consequences of that regime change. And that's what, in fact, happened. But sui generis, the fact that she was in charge of a consulate that was under covert operation, the answer is no. I'm sorry, my dogs are barking. But basically, the dogs of war are barking. Basically, what I'm saying is Gowdy had transferred the whole optics away from the real issue of incompetency and regime change to one of really enforcing Hillary Clinton's strongest traits, resiliency, commitment.
Sure, and making her look like an underdog. Well, just to be clear, though, you're supporting Trump. You're not supporting Hillary.
I'm supporting Trump, but I think Trump has a problem now. Trump had wanted to have Trey Gowdy as the attorney general. That was a big mistake. Trey Gowdy went after Rubio, which I suspected. But the real issue here is that this is a warning to Trump, whom I do admire, and I think he has a real problem now in understanding what the Benghazi issue is all about, and so do his coterie of Republican hacks. I mean, he's hired a whole bunch of Republicans who have been part of the Cheney-Bush administration, Kevin Kellum, Manafort. I mean, he is not really changing what has happened over 14 years. When he was left alone and Corey Landowski helped him out, that was the Trump that we supported. Now many of us are beginning to say, wait a minute, you're bringing in the same guys who were under Cheney and Bush and others, and Manafort is the man of the system. He brought in Kevin Kellum. You look up Kevin Kellum, he was director of communications for Cheney.
Sure.
So basically what's happening now is the co-optation of Trump and the insulation of Hillary Clinton by none other than Trey Gowdy. This is what happens when you're not very bright, when you're not very competent, and when you're narcissistic, and you're underwritten by the American taxpayer. Welcome to the American government.
All right, Steve Pachinik's perspective on Benghazi, and I get it. Hillary's really bad. She's clearly involved there, but there's people who are in the chain of command who have the job to not stand down. And I know you've been a fan of Dempsey in many ways, but you've said here that he definitely stood down as well. StevePachinik.com. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure. Take care.
You bet. We'll be back. Your phone call straight ahead. What do you think about all the news we've covered today? Wide open phones, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. By the way, the Hillary for Prison shirts that sold out, another 18-wheeler arrived with a new design. They're back in at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you leave me, I won't miss you.
I won't ever take you back.
I won't ever take you back.
Girl, your memory.
Girl, your memory.
The establishment
won't ever haunt me.
Is counting on us.
'Cause I don't love you. And now
to just not pay attention. And then we go, hey, there's an EU that's unelected, and their own documents admit they want total planetary control towards eugenics. It might not be a good idea. And they know the average person doesn't want to fight some global tyranny. So they just go, that doesn't exist. That's a tinfoil hat. And the average lazy person says, okay, I want to believe that. But then pretty soon you turn on the local news and it goes, the UN's in charge of bringing in the refugees into Texas. You're going to pay for it. And by the way, 22% of them got TB. And we're not going to treat them or test them. We're going to put them in school with your kids. And high schools all over the country are reporting refugees raping young girls. There was a report out of Germany where the two migrants raped a woman. It's on InfoWars.com today. And the headline was, migrants told police the reason they raped her was they'd had a bad day. It's just a German woman there in the middle of the day at the flower garden having her lunch. Sitting back, having a 10-minute snooze on a park bench. Who hadn't done that after having her lunch? They just raped the living daylights out of her, and they admit it. They said, it's a woman. That's what you do. I mean, you're just a woman there, you rape her. Now, there's the headline. Muslim asylum seekers in Germany having a bad day, so they raped a woman. And it gets weirder and weirder and weirder. And in third world countries, in a lot of these cultures, this goes on. I mean, look at Mexico. Police, troops routinely rape, arrest women. Amnesty International reports. And that's because you've had the collapse of civilization. That stuff goes on here, too. Now, I don't want a civil war with the police, but I'm going to fight for our police not to turn into this. And in some areas, they have. That doesn't mean having some civil war, though, that George Soros finances is going to fix it. Taking our country back. Look, the police being corrupt is a reflection of the general people. We need to change that. And by the way, if you don't think we can't go the way Mexico's gone, you're gravely mistaken. Most societies end up collapsing into this. And then only groups of thugs will take the jobs because good people won't be part of it. And then more evil gets in, and that's how you go. I mean, I've studied the sociology. 50 years ago, Mexico had a lower crime rate than most U.S. cities, and the people, it was all family-oriented, super nice and honorable in almost all areas, and there weren't police raping women. If you raped a woman, their family would come kill you. But Mexicans had guns to a certain extent back then. See, Mexico's been through the liberalization process, you see, where government's God. And we're going there, too. A lot of places they won't even... Oh, by the way, now they're admitting, okay, we did arrest people in Idaho, and there was a sexual assault and all this, but, you know, the prosecutor's now threatening people, and they're trying to cover that up. It's the same story. Cover up for the Muslims. Because if you can get away with that, you can get away with anything. Besides, they're too busy, you know, telling men they shouldn't wear pants. That's the real problem, isn't it? Sheila in Maine, you're on the air. Go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Alex. It's an honor to talk to you.
Honor as well. Go ahead. Thank you.
Listen, I just, I went on and looked up about John Ash, you know, related to the Clintons and, you know, the so-called weightlifting incident.
Yeah, sorry, you faded out there. You said the so-called what?
I'm sorry. You know, John Ash, when you were saying about the weightlifting incident?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you try and look it up on Bing or Google, and that doesn't even show up. So I was trying to say was that they're monitoring or filtering, you know, so, you know, when the information comes out, they don't want you to see it.
Well, ma'am, you've got the Secret Service agents and you've got the FBI agents that have worked around the Clintons with her punching Bill Clinton and her screaming and threatening to kill people and her with all her girlfriends and her, you know, on drugs or whatever when she was younger. When you try to search, you know, Hillary criminal investigation, it goes to her and crime bills. So, yes, Google admits they've been censoring for her and they meet weekly with her campaign to help game everything. That's why you've got to go seek out the key knowledge. When you find it, create records of it yourself, print it out. I always print articles out for myself. And then when you find key intel or key videos, save those, get those out to people, share those links. And it's a fight between artificial intelligence already being programmed by technocrats and we the people. Doesn't matter how much censorship they do, they can't stop us sending emails to people without totally turning off the, you know, the lights. That's why everybody should sign up for the free newsletter, Infowars.com/newsletters. We can send you stuff. They try to censor it. But great, great point, Sheila. Thank you. Scottish John, you're up next.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Quickly as possible. Scottish John tried to call in Sunday, never had a chance to. We're going to go to him right now. Then Chris and Casey and Mike and Jason and others. Jason says he sees UN marked cars pulling over cars. You know, I would think that'd be a hoax phone call, but we're going to go to him. But I'm telling you, now they have brand new armored vehicles coming in at ports being shipped around the U.S. and they're pre-deploying UN peacekeeping equipment. It's not like 20 years ago when people would find some old thing in Louisiana that was like a couple thousand old trucks from the 70s and 80s that had UN on the side that would have been shipped into the U.S. for scrap. And I'd get on air and say, no, I don't think this is a UN invasion, but they are training for gun confiscation. Here's a training manual, or here's the military training to do it. And they'd have their operatives go, you're covering up. The UN launches the takeover next month. Fed. Then, of course, they wouldn't launch the takeover next month. The truth is, it's not going to be one big takeover. It's just, oh, the UN suing Sheriff Arpaio. Oh, the UN tells us to let the refugees in. Oh, Obama gets his authority to do all this and go into Syria from the UN. Oh, Obama doesn't need Congress. Oh, Strong Cities Initiative is going to sue local police departments that don't sign on the Democratic Party operation. And look, the Democrats are taking over to be the one final party. The Republicans at the top are just their operatives and collaborators, but the Democrats are the takeover group. It's clear. And so it's not that the UN's taking over. Globalists set up the UN to transfer power to it. But it was the Rockefellers. But we really are going into a world government program. That's what the unelected euro is, just like they say you can't get out from underneath our system. And then, as we told you, England voted to get out, and they're saying, oh, sorry, we're going to trigger in this clause we, the bureaucrats, wrote that you have to have another vote, and then another vote. Another 5 years drags on. Or even if you vote to get out, like, what was it, five different countries had referendums. It was France and one other country in 2005, and they voted, like, 70-something percent in France to get out. Are they out of the EU? No, they're not. And now the EU says, we're preparing a military leadership to take over all the militaries and merge them into one. You're not allowed to leave. I mean, it's just sensational. But they'll have Beckham, you know, the soccer player, get up there with his wife, you know, oh, the Spice Girl. And I think it's really good and loving for the immigrants. And if you're handsome like me, you're forward. And all the girls go out and protest and go, we like Beckham. Open the borders immediately. Ooh. I mean, it's this triumph of idiocy. But even when we triumph, they just go, sorry, we're not going to stop it. And all the liberals then hang their arm around the jihadi mayor and go, ah, I love Islam. You're like, here's footage of him killing 1,000, you know, homosexuals. You're like, shut up, homophobe. And you're like, you know, that doesn't make sense. That's illogical. You're mentally ill. And they go, I know we are. We're in charge. But see, they're not. They run nothing. They're nobodies. But they just accept whatever the screw job is and play fantasy land that they're in charge. It's called mass Stockholm syndrome. It's called learned helplessness. It's called the normalcy bias on PCP. Scottish John, a Scottish trans, I met this guy years ago at protest. Scottish John lives in Texas. Scottish John, what is your take on all this?
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good, my friend. Go ahead.
I don't know if you heard, but do you know that England got knocked out of the European Soccer Championships yesterday?
Yes, and I know they're going to knock them out of everything and say you're not part of Europe now. Even though they could compete in Europe before, the dictatorship says you can't be part of anything now.
I just thought it was funny. They managed to exit Europe twice in the 1 week. And listen, what you were saying earlier about older women, you know what they say about older women? The older the fiddle, the sweeter the tune. Now, I want to go back a couple of years ago when I was on your show talking about the Scottish independence referendum, and which we lost. And it wasn't too long after the votes were announced, or the result rather was announced, that we started seeing evidence of vote fraud. And even the leader of the Scottish Tory party, Ruth Davidson, she announced on television that she had actually sampled postal votes from the islands. Now, that's against the law. She was questioned by the police, but we never ever heard anything about it. Anyhow, further down the line, there was a young fella who's a big, big fan of yours, was listening to that show, and he actually started his own YouTube channel and subsequently got his own radio show on a network called Truth Frequency. And we eventually found each other, and he's had me as a guest on his show several times. And I was on last Thursday, and we were talking about the Brexit. And, of course, we weren't expecting it to happen the way it did. Now, he had another guest on, a guy called Chris Everard, who's a documentary filmmaker, and he also has a show on TFR. And I heard him on Sunday afternoon, Alex, talking to Leo Zagami. And he happened to mention that he figured that Nicola Sturgeon, the leader of the SNP, is actually MI5. And that raises a very, very, very interesting question, because my friend in Glasgow, his name's Kev Baker, we correspond every day, and he's never met anyone who actually voted to stay in Europe. So there's something very fishy going on.
Well, sure. Listen, what they did is, I've thought, because they can constitutionally, even though they never voted to be part of it, say you can have a second vote, and then it narrowly, you know, loses next time. The exit polls showed that it was much higher people voting to leave Europe than were voting to stay. So I agree with you, Major Hanky-Panky Scottish John. Good to hear you calling the broadcast. You know, I don't mind shout-outs, and he does it nicely, but I tell you, every line he said was a shout-out. That's all his buddies. That's great, but, you know, I really like shout-outs to, like, Mom. Hey, Mom, it's Scottish John from Austin, Texas. Casey in Oregon, you're on the air. Welcome.
I came up with a term called the UNEXIT. It's about the exiting the UN, and I was going to see what you thought about holding a vote for the U.S. to leave the UN.
I think it's a beautiful idea. We should have the UN exit, and we should start a petition at whitehouse.gov. You know, they started that to just act like they listened to you, but as soon as we started dominating and others did, they started making it be 100,000 signatures or whatever, and we got that. They said, oh, more. But, yes, we should start a movement to exit the United Nations criminal operation. I totally agree. And they try to hold us hostage. They're the parasites that are trying to dictate to us, and the U.S. funds half the UN. So I'm sure the UN will tell us the sky is going to fall if we don't, you know, stop letting them run our lives. It's like having some deadbeat husband that beats his wife and she works two jobs. And he says, honey, you're not going to have I can't tell you in my life, years ago, the bullies, in some cases, the bad employees that you catch doing really horrible stuff. I haven't had bad employees in a long time, crew members. And they literally look at you and say, you're going to collapse without me. And I'd say, okay, great. Have a nice day. But it's just how delusional these people are. And you look at the bureaucrats, it's when Nigel Farage said to the EU bureaucrats yesterday, he said, most of you have never worked a day in your life. And most of them haven't. I mean, they are just the appointees of big mega banks who first set up the euro. It's an unelected Politburo where they hand the power down to the next person. So the debate is over, Casey, because this is something that they never voted to enter. Go ahead.
I was going to say also we could possibly might be the right climate for people to accept after the Brexit happened to do maybe possibly a meme contest on the Unexit.
Yeah, I'd actually have to have crew members, though, to judge it and post the meme and make sure it got the full traction. That's why we haven't been doing a lot of contests because we'll get 1,000 entries and we can't even process it all. So we're trying to hire a few more crew members, get them trained. That's a process as well. So we can actually try to, you know, reach out and actually interface with more folks. But great points, Casey. Thank you. Let's go ahead and talk to Mike in California. Mike, you're listening on 1340 AM, I should add. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, cool. Hey, I wanted to ask you to mention something because you've done it before about faith-based initiative. You know, you talked about some of these parishes sponsoring illegal immigrants as a transfer point. And also, too, if you could consider a possible interview with Oliver Stone to discuss Snowden as well as this 2016 election and maybe Trump. I think a lot of listeners would be interested to hear.
Well, I know this. Snowden has come out and criticized Putin for his warrantless spying, which I think is admirable. He's been trying to get out of Russia and get into another country. And I'm not demonizing Russia overall, but I mean, in many cases, it's just as bad as the stuff going on here. People say, well, that means it's okay then. No, it's not okay. But I think Snowden is a hero. I think he is for real. I think what he's done is very, very important to force this giant criminal operation out in the open that isn't there to keep us safe, but is there overall to absolutely control our lives. I mean, look, I'm all for open intelligence gathering on the open web to track things because, I mean, private companies do that. Websites do that. That's just data, you know, to be marketing. But when you sit there and actually listen to phones and read emails, you know, Google didn't tell people till we made a big deal out of it, and others did, that they read your emails with AI computers. Well, that's not right, you know. So as for Oliver Stone, I've known his son, Sean Stone, for probably 8 years or so. I co-hosted with Ventura and him a season of a show. Gotten to know him pretty darn good. He's been on here and there. And I've just nicely said, hey, I'll ask your dad to come on. But at the same time, his dad, I disagree with him on some issues. I think he has a lot of courage, probably some of the most courage in Hollywood with his alternative history series and the Snowden movie he's got coming out. He kind of put out a 9/11 movie that went with the official narrative. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm not 5-10 years ago, I would be thrilled to have Oliver Stone on the show. But I really, it's kind of boring. You know, I'm kind of past Oliver Stone. And I don't mean I'm better than Oliver Stone or I'm more accomplished than Oliver Stone. I mean, it'd be nice to have him on to talk about his pieces and get him to say what he thinks of them. And then it'd be news-making if he said something controversial. Sure, that'd be great. You know, it's like David Lynch. Big fan of a lot of his movies. And then he comes to Austin. I talk to him privately. And he says, you know, one thing to me. And then he comes on my show and is scared to say any of it. And it's like, I'm not mad at David Lynch for that. At least he's one of the Hollywood people that's willing to come on. If I told people, and this was kind of fun 10 years ago, you know, all the people in Hollywood that have contacted me and all the rest of it, and you know, oh, come out here, let's talk about a film project, and you fly out to L.A. or you fly to New York, or they want you to fly to the Reykjavik or fly to London, and they want you to come meet with them, and you go meet with them, and it's just them wanting to be political but scared of doing it, it just really gets old. And so that's why I said, like I can go out to L.A. and meet Chris Carter, who says that the new X-Files series is a character based on me and that I'm a good guy. And I like Chris Carter. He's a really smart guy, formerly a journalist. And if I ever get out to L.A., I'll try to call him up and go meet with him. But it's just kind of like, almost like leave him over there. It's like I kind of have already, or like Joe Rogan. I've been friends with him since like 1998. Used to hang out with him a lot. He's gotten busy. I've gotten busy. He's always saying, come on my show. I say, come on mine. It never happens the last year or so. People always ask. So I finally got mad and just said, look, forget Joe Rogan. He has his show. I have my show. And then Joe texted me and said, hey, here's my new number. Maybe he didn't have it, but I want you to come on, buddy. You know, love you. I said, well, I love you too. Okay, I'll come on your show. And it's not that I get it. It's like, you know, me and Joe were talking the other day, and it's like we just, it's not like we're even jaded. It's just kind of like he does his thing, I do my thing. And it's kind of like Oliver Stone does his thing, and then I do my thing. But I am a talk show, so I should try to get these folks on. I only get people on if I'm trying to learn something from them. Like, I want to see what this congressman says. And then I wasn't eavesdropping on him. I wanted to go talk to him during a break. He didn't know I was listening. And I got to hear behind-the-scenes stuff where he was saying all these really nice things. And I said, hey, go ahead and shut that down. I don't want him to, you know, he doesn't know I'm listening, so turn it off. You know, you just kind of pick up stuff. Or to have Pachinik on, that guy's a total character. Or all these other folks we have on, that's what I'm really into. I mean, look, it was way more fulfilling to have Matt Drudge show up, almost had a heart attack, super reclusive, and he's got a reason to be. And then to be on my show, and he does like one show every few years. That was way more cool to me than being at a party with Brad Pitt with like 50 other people and you know, stuff like that. Or, you know, talking to Brad Pitt for 30 minutes. Whoop-dee-dee. I wasn't really into it then. You know, being at a party that George Clooney's at, being at a party with like four people. And, you know, there's, what's his name from Fast Times at Ridgemont High? You know, or I mean, it's like you almost don't want to be behind the scenes with Josh Brolin and Sean Penn because they're just sitting there like basking arrogantly that they must, well, just even when they're at a dinner going, oh, we're God. Oh, my God. We're all in movies. And I can still go see a movie like Sicario and Brolin plays a good part. The movie's pretty accurate. And like Josh Brolin or when he played W. But I like them as an actor. I literally could care less about Josh Brolin. He is like an arrogant five-year-old child. Sean Penn is like a lobotomized monkey. Brad Pitt's has to wear, I think it's makeup or cream to cover up pockmarks in his face. I don't wear makeup. I don't care. I'm a fire-breathing caveman. And it's not about me, okay? But I want to talk to people that want to build space stations. I want to talk to astronauts. I want to talk to test pilots. I want to talk to gardeners. I want to talk to horticulturalists. Horticulturalists. I'm having trouble saying that word. I want to talk to quantum physicists. I want to, read poetry. I don't want to be in this whole fake fantasy land that is just total garbage. I don't mean to go into a rant. I really apologize. That wasn't right. I just cannot explain to people how freeing it is to not care what people think about me, to not care about Hollywood. And I never really cared, but I cared a little. And I guess because I got to see behind the scenes the top of Hollywood, the top of music, the top of politics, for whatever reason. And I realized it's cold, it's dark, it's empty. And I don't want to be any part of it. So don't feel inadequate. The one power they have over so many people is women at the magazine racks buying all the thing about the stars and how do they look good. And they show you an anorexic woman so that you think you need to look like something that isn't natural. And this, everything's meant to sell you something that's bad. They're not even selling something's good. I'm not against selling something somebody they need. I'm all about that. That's symbiosis. I'm not going to sell you something that I don't think you really need or want that I don't believe in because I already realize what I sell you, I sell myself and comes right back on me. I'm not a rapist. There's these guys that want power over women. They want the power because they don't have power. They want some weird fake power. I want a woman to be in ecstasy. I want them to have pleasure. That's my pleasure. That's the kind of guy I am. And I'm not up here saying I'm a great guy or anything. The point is I realize I'm not like so many other people that don't have power, don't have innate power, don't have primal energy, don't have primal force, who are just scrabbling around like a bunch of rats trying to build this world that they control to make you feel inadequate so you've got to come to them to get all the answers. God gave you the answers in the genetics and the culture that he created.
We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
Son,
keep your foot hard on the pedal. Son, never mind them brakes.
Texarkana.
And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. He's bound and down.
All right, I'm going to jam as many phone calls in this segment, a little overdrive segment, and then Paul Watson, always informative, always on fire. He's going to come in with the Brexit, the Benghazi situation. Just briefly, wish that caller wouldn't have hung up talking about seeing UN cars pulling people over. I believe anything now. I just really actually wanted to hear from him. So send us any photos. People are always like, you know, telling me about stuff. Send us photos. Send us videos to News Tips. Write up a report of what you saw. Give us your number. You are our reporters out there on the ground. Why not? The UN's already suing sheriffs all over the place that arrest illegals for even criminal acts. Why not? They're already advising Obama. He says that's how he gets his authority to ignore Congress and the Supreme Court. The UN's setting up strong city initiatives to take over local cities. Literally. Literally. So I get probably true. I'm not going to belabor this. We have the best quality storable foods. That's kind of a nexus point. You can buy really fancy, expensive, gourmet, freeze-dried stuff that costs like five times more than InfoWars Select. I had Buckley plug in it the other day because he's eating some of it. He goes, it's very, very passable, decent food. Some of it actually tastes pretty good. I love Buckley. He just won't, you know. But I'm telling you, for the price it's and the quality nexus, it is the best deal out there if you want super low price and really good quality. Obviously, there is super high-end stuff out there that tastes better. But compared to just even stuff that costs twice as much to some of the main camping lines that's freeze-dried like this, it doesn't taste as good. And with all the crazy stuff going on in the world, this stuff lasts 25 years. It's in the best packaging. We've got 15% off running right now because of the globalists talking about food shortages and stuff in the future. All I know is they want us dependent. You're insane if you don't have storable foods. We have the new version of the Hillary for Prison shirt. It's back in, limited edition, InfoWarsStore.com as well. But if you go to InfoWarsSelect.com, that takes you right to the subpage. InfoWarsStore.com has the full spectrum of high-quality food. Powered by My Patriot Supply, that's already, we sell their full catalog, highest level discounts. It is the best deal out there. Well, InfoWars Select allows us to go even lower in price. It's the exact same food. And the 20% off deep cleanse ends today. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Neil in Pennsylvania, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how's it going?
Thank you for calling, brother. Good.
Hey, so long story short, yesterday I get home, eat some dinner, I get a call. It comes up in the caller ID, political survey. So the wife goes, here, you answer this, because she knows I enjoy, you know, doing this when I get the calls. And it asked me four questions. The first question was, are you happy with Obama's jobs program? And it was one for yes, two for no. So I clicked no. Second question was if we're happy with Governor Wolf. And one for yes, two for no. Third question, are you, hold on, I'm a little nervous here. Lost my breath. Third question was, do you have a favorable opinion or an unfavorable opinion of Hillary Clinton? And it was one for no, two for yes. So they switched those up. Like, I almost hit two to say.
Sure, it's designed to have old people get confused, yeah.
Alex, the best part of it is the fourth question was, do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of Donald Trump? And it was one for yes, two for no. They flipped it right back like it was in the first two questions. I clicked one. It gave me an error message that said invalid entry. And it hung up on me, and I had a fast, busy signal.
Yeah, let me stop you right there. Look, it's like a caller earlier. I'm going to hold you over. I'm going to go a little bit in the next hour with Paul because I want to go to Walter and Todd and Chris and Johnny. But Paul will ride shotgun with us. And I want to give you some inside Trump baseball that I got 3 days ago but I haven't covered yet. In fact, it's on my notes from Sunday stack that I put in yesterday's stack. I'd like to find that. It's a whole back page with my writing on it. I need my notes. I've got to cover this. Stay with us. Fourth hour coming up. But yes, look, they admit they screw these polls over. That wrote this song.
The world is a dangerous place, not because of evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center. It's Alex Jones.
They control our lives and our culture. I know I'm stating the obvious. By holding up these false icons of sports, Hollywood, all of them. And making them heroes because the media said so. It should be trailblazers, innovators, people who have courage. That's what built great systems. And I want to know the people that love freedom and are involved. I don't want to just know somebody because they're good looking and can read off a script. And I know that's an obvious statement, but man, you ought to see politicians, world leaders grovel to celebrities. And it's because there's really nothing inside of them. They hope they're going to find enlightenment by being with somebody else. And you're not going to find it in this modern culture. I want to go to Neil and Todd and others here in a moment. Paul Watts is coming up from London, England, with tons of news, obviously. But the caller, Neil, I'm going to go back to him, if he just joined us, was saying they wouldn't let me basically vote for Donald Trump in the poll. There's hundreds of ways they run this scam. Hillary's the worst. They admit they're doing it. It's like a lady earlier saying they're controlling search engine results where you can't find out about Hillary's corruption. They admit they're doing that. That's what's crazy. And people just can't believe it. Yes, they admit it and take polls. It's to create the perception that Trump's losing. Their internal polling, and I'll talk about this after I take calls, is that he's dead even or 10 points ahead, 7 points ahead in others, but people are scared to say it in any type of polling where they actually twist the poll to say, you know, are you upset about Trump's racism, or are you concerned about these statements or those statements? And then they ask, will you support Trump? So there's all sorts of things they're doing. There's push polls. There's polls where you call up with a bunch of fake, you know, horrible things somebody did to demonize them. It's not even about a poll. But bottom line, with this poll, they're running a poll where it's programmed into the phone where certain number of phone calls, it doesn't let you vote for Trump. A lot of the phone calls do get to vote. And then it creates the perception that, oh, see, we have a new poll out showing Hillary's 10 points ahead, say, in Pennsylvania, where Trump in most polls has actually been ahead. So that's how they operate. And she's arrogant enough to, you know, steal states where he's super popular, like Georgia or New York. I mean, there's no end to it. But Neil, it's important for you and everybody out there to just keep an iPhone or a smartphone or whatever near you, or a cheap video camera, and just when you get these calls, put it on speaker, videotape it, because you never know what you're going to catch. Because it's one thing for you to tell us this. We all probably know it's true. We need to get this on video because that could really illustrate for things. Neil?
Absolutely. And you know what? I actually Google searched the company name. It's a GMI survey company. Like, I don't know who owns it or anything, but I Google searched and it came up because they actually said that over the survey.
Well, let me ask you this question. Who are they mainly pollsters for? Are they Democrat or Republican or both?
Well, that's what I was going to say is I'm actually a registered Democrat. So that's why I get these calls of usually for the Democratic, you know, politicians in my local area and Pennsylvania. And, you know, things like this actually just help open my eyes up and say, you know what? You know, it's rigged. You know, it actually just, as a registered Democrat, it's pushing me more towards Trump. And right now, you know, as a Democrat, I'm actually probably going to vote for Trump, you know, because two reasons. I'm a small business owner. My son goes to college. He works part-time. He made $9,800 last year and still had to pay $60 in federal income tax.
Total bull. And then there's all the FICA and Social Security and then all the other and all the cell phone taxes. There are hundreds of so-called federal taxes. Most of them are totally unconstitutional. Thank you, Neil. Yeah, I don't know why a lot of Democrats aren't voting for Trump. I mean, quite frankly, in a lot of his history and activities, he's kind of a liberal populist on many issues. I just don't think he has it out for the country. And that's why the globalists, for real, are so angry at him. I'm going to come back and take a few more calls quickly. And then I'm going to give you some inside baseball on Trump and then transition to my red coat friend, Ward Watson.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
I see your hair is burning. Hills are filled with fire.
If they say I never loved you.
If they say I never loved you.
You know they are a liar.
You know they are a liar.
I know what's going to be playing on my cell phone I'm driving home today.
Driving down your
and valleys.
Midnight alleys roam.
Cops and cars, the topless bars.
Cops and cars, the topless bars. Never saw.
Let's go to your phone calls right now and then to Paul Watson.
So alone.
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 Talking about L.A., lonely, empty, alone. No, thank you. Sell my soul for that? Ah! What a fraud. Todd in Michigan, you're on the air worldwide. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex, and I want to thank you for everything you do on InfoWars. I just was awakened a month or so ago to your program, and it was because of Mr. Watson there.
He is a prolific individual, and he's coming in hot here in just a moment.
Yes, thank you for importing men to the U.S.,
Well, we're trying to. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment about what Dr. Pechenik said and the congressman said. Forget the politicians, forget the Republicans, forget the Democrats. Just get out there and do what we're supposed to do as American citizens, and we will win. We can't put all of our faith in Trump, like Dr. Pechenik said. You know, he's kind of making people think he's going over to the dark side now. And what the congressman said, you know, we got to stick to those three rules and we can work it out. And what you do, I'm a first time caller. I'm kind of excited, but I just think like my mom, I'm a 55-year-old man. I stay home, take care of my 76-year-old dad. And I talk to my mom all the time just to kill time. And she hates Trump. She hates Hillary worse, but she does not trust Trump, not for a minute. So, you know, we can't keep going in this big circle. I was a big Fox News fan until, you know, all this.
No, I hear you. I absolutely hear you. And in a few minutes, I'm going to speak to this on Trump, but I absolutely get your point. We've got to trust ourselves, trust God, take action, change our own personal lives, reach out to others, and the world will change. And then the manifestation of that will be populist movements like Nigel Farage and UKIP and Trump and others. God bless you. I appreciate your call, Todd. I want to go to Walter in New York and Chris and Johnny and others. And I'll probably leave those callers for Paul Watson if he chooses to take them. I don't mean to dismiss your calls or be rude about them, but I've got to hand the baton to Watson here in just a moment. He's waiting in the wings. But let me go ahead and just give you some of the inside baseball Trump news. Let me go ahead and just break down some of the things happening in Trump land. Donald Trump has gotten a bunch of establishment Republicans into his campaign that have some pretty good backgrounds working for Reagan and others, and some libertarian stripes as well, like his pollsters and others. So it's not all bad signs there, because that's who knows how the party system works. That's the people that know how to stop them trying to steal the nomination still in Cleveland. That's the folks that know the obscure arcania. It's beyond parliamentary. The obscure arcania. Archaic systems that have been all twisted and changed with superdelegates and all the rest of it. So I never expected Trump charging into a goblin's nest to not get some goblin vomit and slop and blood on him. I just don't want to catch him in bed with a goblin. But if he's in there rolling around hacking him up and he's got a goblin guide, you know, taking him into the cave, I'm not expecting him to not get dirty, especially up to his ankles. I don't want to see him kissing goblins, having political succubus with goblins. I don't want to see him ingratiating goblins. And so what do we expect him to do? He runs for office for the first time ever, gets the nomination presumptively, without spending outside money, and spends $40+ million of his own, and loses hundreds of millions of TV shows and contract deals and beauty pageant deals and hotel deals. I mean, he has paid a big price. And the guy says he's got $10 billion. That's hotels and assets. The big secret is Donald Trump probably might be able to get a hold of $1 billion cash. And that's not from Stone. I just bounce stuff off Stone from other sources in my own research, and he, you know, basically tells me if I'm accurate or if I'm not. But I don't think anyone knows exactly how much Trump has, but you've seen the media even claim he's not as rich as he says he is. Well, there's different ways to look at things. You know, they can say my InfoWars company's worth, you know, $50 million. Oh, really, it'd go downhill in a month if I wasn't here. It's actually a deficit. But they've got all these Dun and Bradstreet things saying I'm worth $50 million. I mean, you know, it's like if I had some painting somebody hypothetically valued at $10 million, but I can't sell it for that, it's not worth that. I bought the painting at a five and dime. It's worth $5. I don't really have a painting that's supposedly worth anything. It's an analogy. So here's what I'm trying to get at, and then I'm going to go to Watson. Maybe I should shoot a special report on this. I kind of get tired towards the end of the show, and I don't want to butcher this. I've got a whole page of notes here from different sources, but this has to be done very, very delicately, to quote the Wicked Witch of the West. You want Trump to be this populist. You want him to go in there and defeat him without any establishment money. He does something no one's ever done. Now he's standing there in a fight. He's gone to the next level of the gladiatorial battle, the ultimate level, and Hillary has got a machine gun fully loaded and a battle axe, and Donald Trump doesn't have any of that. He doesn't have any political funding. He doesn't have the infrastructure. He doesn't have anything to get into the party machine, because the party machine won't support him because they know he isn't going along with them. They know he really is a populist. They'd be supporting him in a minute over Hillary if he was a shill. And that's really my best dead reckoning on it. Is Trump kind of an egomaniac? Does the guy think he's, you know, the best thing since sliced bread? Yeah, but any successful person kind of has that view. They're scared of him for a reason, though. And internally in his campaign, they're trying to get him to actually set up super PACs and do all this stuff and actually take big people's money. But when the big guys come, like Adelson, and here's the big news, and offer him $100 million to take Newt Gingrich and then $200 million, and he says no, Adelson's not giving him anything now. And it's the same. None of the big donors, none of the big establishment guys are giving him anything, folks, because they know he won't do what they say. And he tells them, I'll take your money, but no strings attached. And so I'm sitting here going, why don't you reach out to kind of mid-tier donors and say, listen, if you really want to change this, give. So that's what it comes down to. And I'll tell Trump this. What do casinos and golden palaces mean? You know they're empty. You just put up casinos and golden palaces because you know the public resonates to something shiny like a fish going up at 10,000 feet in the Marianas Trench to a angler fish. The shininess just brings them in. I don't think you're really that empty. You certainly don't care how you look, which is a good sign that you know are beyond you know the things of childhood. Now becomes a message to Trump. So you're all into this thing. Your name, everything, will be completely tainted, destroyed. If they claim you were a huckster before, which I don't think you were, you were a salesman, you will become that huckster forever if you fail. And they will come after you and never rehabilitate you if you don't go all in. So you know that. I know that. You're fully committed. You need to just go ahead and take everything you have. I mean, you're out there with people wanting to kill you, ready to die. I totally admire that. So you're committed trying to save the republic. You're trying to step into George Washington's shoes here, bro, at a critical juncture. They say history and circumstance makes the man. You've got the right stuff, but now you've got to take that next step into history. And Trump needs to go ahead and put down $100 million, $200 million, $300 million, and then shame all these other people in to coming and doing that to crush Hillary Clinton. I mean, I know this. I will give of what I meagerly have saved as just emergency backup a lot more money to super PACs, you name it, if I see Trump commit to the next level. And Trump needs to sell buildings, sell golf courses. He needs to go into trust funds. He needs to go in. None of that's going to be there when you're dead, bro, and you know that. And you need to really go to the next level and just dump it. You need to dump it. I mean, if I was you, I would do that immediately. So do it. Dump the money in. You are now in a death battle with the globalist. I'm going to skip this network break and go to Paul Joseph Watson. Paul, you've heard my points on this subject. I mean, people could sit there and say Trump needs to, you know, not hire anybody from the Republican Party to run things. Well, that's like saying don't hire anybody that has a nuclear physics degree, an engineering degree, and a nuclear chemical degree to run a nuclear power plant. I mean, or that's like, you know, if I was going into New Guinea and I wanted a guide to make a documentary about cannibals, I would go hire one of the local chiefs and, you know, pay him to be my guide so I'd be safe. And I'd also get the inside scoop on, you know, where they shrink the heads. And they all know Trump is hiring them to use them, which isn't a bad term. I mean, he's hiring them, you know. They all know which end is up. They all know he's the alpha dog. That's why they're sabotaging him, not joining him. I mean, this is just such proof that he's floundering, unable to raise money, won't take money from the big guys. They won't give it, even after they pledge it. Because, oh, we pledge $100 million and Gingrich loves you. I'm Adelson. I'll give you $200 million. Just do what I want. He meets with them and comes out and then doesn't get the money. Adelson may give a couple million, you know, for this or that, just to hurt Trump, because people know he's really working with Hillary. I mean, Paul, you just heard my gestalt there. What do you think of it?
Well, I mean, it would be completely naive to suggest that they wouldn't try and infiltrate this. I mean, it's the same process we've seen after Brexit. As soon as it happened, I said, watch what they're going to do. They're going to try and put globalists in there to infiltrate this, to sabotage this, to throw it off course. So it's no surprise that they're doing that with Trump. But he did just come out with a big speech. Drudge's got the big red headline up there. And again, he's come out and said, we're going to get out of the TPP. Hillary's a globalist.
Paul, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the religion of peace is struck again. They'll probably blame it on the Tea Party. Reuters is reporting two explosions at Istanbul, formerly Constantinople. The airport's been hit, multiple injuries, Turkish officials. So the religion of peace has struck again. Sorry, Paul.
Well, that's, again, no surprise, given that, you know, Turkey's helped ISIS along the way. They're getting some blowback from it. But as I said, it's just like this post-Brexit process. They're going to try and sabotage it. The globalists aren't going to go quietly into the night. They're going to do everything within their power to try and derail this populist revolt, which is what it is. But his speech that he just gave, again, he's put Hillary on the rack for being a globalist. He's directly confronted the globalists. So despite his meetings with, you know, Richard Haass and Henry Kissinger, he's maintained the course. He hasn't switched his allegiance from everything he said.
Sure, and then Haass and Kissinger have come out and endorsed Hillary.
Yeah. So, obviously, he has to play to a certain extent by their rules to beat them at their own game. I mean, you can't expect him to be some, you know, fringe candidate that's not going to follow the track that he needs to follow. That was perfectly
said. He's got to play by their rules to beat them at their game.
Exactly. But, you know, if he follows up on his rhetoric, then that's the proof is in the pudding. We have to take that risk because we know what we're going to get with Hillary. We know the devil is in the details. So at least we need to give Trump a chance because from everything that he said and everything that he's done so far, he stands in direct opposition to the globalists who are trying to derail him at every point.
And again, the Bushes and the Clintons vacation together, Hillary vacations with Kissinger. Ooh, how gross. All those pedophiles and scum. I'm just so sick of them, man. The pedophile planes and the Clintons. God help us, man. What do you think of the left just worshiping this demon woman?
Well, it's completely par for the course. I mean, what was it? Half of Bernie Sanders supporters said they wouldn't vote for her. I bet that number's not that high when push comes to shove. But I mean, look at what Soros is saying today. This is what I wanted to cover. Brexit vote must be overturned or the European Union is doomed. So he's saying that this democratic vote by the majority of the British people must be annulled. He's now openly saying that.
This is a freakish Nazi collaborator that literally has an oxygen tank and a white cat still crawling around, stirring up trouble. I mean, just Soros, crawl in the grave, put some dirt on it, and go away.
He's openly advocating and legitimizing this petition that has been completely ridiculed, this petition for a second referendum. Okay, 25,000 people from North Korea signed it. A bunch of 4chan trolls signed it. The Electoral Commission says it's completely fraudulent. They're not even going to consider it. Cameron came out and said, no, we're not going to consider it. And he's still pushing this ridiculous petition from all these virtue-signaling leftists who didn't even bother to turn up to vote in the first place. That shows how desperate they are to sabotage Brexit. It's an ongoing process, and that's what we need. We need to keep holding their feet to the fire because the battle is not over on this.
And, Paul, I was given this article an hour ago, but I fall into my own trap. I criticize our reporters for never reporting on what we're doing or thinking of InfoWars as something important, even though we're cutting edge, obviously. But Kit Daniels brought me this article. I read the actual quotes. It's insane, but it's really what they're doing. Didn't even cover it last hour. Mexican president demands U.S. merge with Mexico, Canada. EU-style North American Union, that's a quote, would kill U.S. national sovereignty. He has tweeted out that we must merge and create a union. Yeah, so we can have corrupt Mexican officials merging with ours, making decisions for us. And look, under these trade agreements, many of which haven't been ratified, they're making these deals already, just like the EU, without us voting on it, Paul Joseph Watson. That's on InfoWars.com. I mean, this is crazy.
Well, what did you see with the EU? As soon as Brexit happened, they doubled down. They said, we're going to take away any remaining sovereignty you have, because they're panicking at this domino effect that we're going to see in France, that we're going to see in the Netherlands and other countries. And now that Germany, the AfD party in Germany, which is the big conservative party that's had a lot of electoral success recently, they've come out and said they want an exit poll for Deutschland. And the response is, well, Hitler abused national referendums, so we're not going to allow you to do that. So because
of Hitler had referendums, it's like if Hitler ate sausage, he was a vegetarian, but let's say Hitler ate tomatoes, you can't ever have tomatoes now. And because Hitler once voted in an election, you can't vote. This is the new political correctness.
Literally the most anti-intellectual reason you could think.
Who said that?
Godwin's law. Just invoke Hitler.
Who said that?
It's completely ludicrous. And then the other aspect is, again, you know, today we've got these virtue signaling leftist morons, these authoritarian trendies, out on the streets of Trafalgar Square in London protesting against democracy. They're out there on the streets with racist signs saying, you know, old white people need to die. This whole post-Brexit thing has been about the dumb, stupid millennials who know absolutely
nothing. No, it's all these trendy women literally in tutus saying old whites need to die, I love Islam. Like that woman we have crying going, I'm a feminist, I love Islam. These are mental patients.
Yeah, while the Vote Leave supporters are being blamed for these isolated racist incidents, like someone telling someone to go back to Africa on a bus. You know, if the British people were half as outraged as they are at that, about the Rotherham sex scandal, you know, 1,400 young girls abused by Muslim rape gangs. Again, it was hardly in the media. Police covered it up.
Hey, most people were really nice to me in Mexico, but I was wearing a shirt that had a little Texas on it. And a guy said, oh, you're from Texas. That's Mexico. Go back. And I laughed at him. And then he said something kind of friendly as I walked off. But I mean, you know, imagine if I had a whole news article. I was in Mexico and he said, go back to Texas.
Well, Alex, you think that these anti-Trump protesters are dumb when we've talked to them and, you know, Aid Skrillex, Carl the Cook, the older black guy who was debating the 16-year-old Trump supporter and said that Trump's wife was an illegal immigrant. You ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, we've got the most amazing footage. I'm going to do a video on it tomorrow. I've literally found footage where a 22-year-old girl in Britain is crying her eyes out because she thinks that the Brexit vote will result in Nando's, which is a restaurant chain based out of South Africa, it will result in Nando's immediately closing all their restaurants.
Oh, my God. So she has no idea that a chain can come anywhere at once and just pay the fee and start a chain.
Exactly. And again, tons of other videos.
So she thinks the euro allows her to have McDonald's and Nando's.
Yeah. Again, they actually think that we're leaving the continent of Europe. You've got leftists on video saying, oh, I will have to now pay to travel to France. The government's not going to pay for me to travel to France anymore. They think that all the food from Europe is just going to stop coming in. All the restaurants that aren't British are going to close.
No, we're leaving. You just will be able to make your own laws. You'll be able to make your own laws and have the EU make the laws. Go back for me, exactly. Because I want to do a video on this. Who in the government is saying Hitler had referendums, so we can't have them?
This is the German government. The headline is, now far-right demands Dexit poll for Deutschland, but referendums are banned because Hitler abused polls. It's an article in the Daily Mail.
Wait, the referendums are banned in Germany because Hitler did?
That's what the article says, yeah. It's out of the Daily Mail. It's
So direct democracy is banned because Hitler used it once. So that means all other elections have to be banned because Hitler got elected. And yes, folks, he got elected.
Absolutely amazing that what they're resorting to. The other thing we've heard, and this is what Soros is talking about again, they're claiming that everyone who voted leave in the United Kingdom has buyer's remorse. And now because they regret it, that means we should have another referendum. Complete nonsense. You look at the polls, more people who voted remain are happy. Only 1% of people who voted leave are unhappy. So it's 4-1. It's complete BS. Yet they're pushing this claim that everyone regrets it. They're just dumb, stupid. Again, it's this arrogant elite.
All right, Paul, I'm turning things over to you, and I'm sorry to the callers. I can't get to you. And Paul, if you want to take calls, that's fine. If not, let us know. Paul Watson taking over. Nightly news tonight, 7 o'clock. Central, incredible news. Posted at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now. Please spread to everybody you know and spread the link, InfoWars.com/show. And the Hillary for Prison shirts are back in, a new design.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're living on the edge.
Go back to the fourth hour live of the Alex Jones Show. Later in this segment, we're going to play a report from Faith Goldie. Now, they received emails at the Rebel Media from a school in Canada that has admitted Syrian refugees to a high school. They're 22 years old. They have full beards. They're well-built. They're hitting on 14 and 15-year-old girls. They're praising terrorist attacks. This is the cultural enrichment that we're now importing. And again, the school has done absolutely nothing about it. Finally, these emails have been released. But again, due to concerns over political correctness, they're just letting 22-year-old grown men, you know, catcall 14 and 15-year-old girls. Absolutely ludicrous situation. We're going to get to that report. But as I was talking about before the break, you had a bunch of clueless leftist virtue signaling morons descend on Trafalgar Square in London today to protest against democracy. Now, here's what's funny about this. The rally was initially cancelled because police feared overcrowding. They thought that over 50,000 people were going to turn up. The problem with that was that they were basing it off of Facebook. So 50,000 people said they were going to show up on Facebook. You actually look at the pictures, it's in the hundreds. It's 300-400 people actually turned up because these people are nothing more than virtue signalers. They care more about looking progressive and trendy in front of their Facebook friends than they actually do bothering getting up off their butts and voting. I mean, look at the Brexit referendum. 36%, only 36% of people in the 18 to 24-year-old category actually voted. 64% in that age group did not vote. So you've got 36% compared to 72% national turnout. And they have the gall, they have the temerity to claim that this doesn't represent Britain. You know, here's the message. Only 36% of you bothered to vote. Whining on Facebook doesn't count. Who knew? Again, these are people living in London swank pads, paid for by their rich parents, and now they're out there, again, subverting democracy, saying that this democratic referendum should just be annulled because suddenly they're not happy about it because a lot of their friends had a hissy fit on Facebook. Well, I'm sorry, it doesn't count for Jack. If you don't bother to get off your butt, go to a polling station. You know, in most cases, it's literally across the road from people. But they don't care. They don't actually care about voting. They only care about looking trendy. That's the whole point. That's why they're out there on the streets of Trafalgar Square right now. Again, lecturing old people. We've got this narrative in the British media. The old people must die. They ruined our future. They're not going to be around for much longer anyway. Why do we even let them vote in the first place? These are the people whose fathers literally fought and died for Britain not to be ruled from Germany. And now these punk millennial idiots who are completely uninformed, completely ignorant, are lecturing old people about the mere fact that they had to, the chance to vote. In fact, here's a tweet. I retweeted it just a while ago. Dear young Remainers, 65 years old plus new rationing, 75 years old plus new the Luftwaffe, 90 years old plus new Panzers. They didn't steal your future. They gave you one. Yet these punks are all over YouTube, all over Facebook, arguing and with, in some cases, backed up by the leftist media, saying that because the older generation stole their future, the old people shouldn't be allowed to vote anymore. Because, you know, youth unemployment is really great in Europe, isn't it? You know, 45% youth unemployment in Spain, 50% youth unemployment in Greece. If that's a bright future, then what the hell are these people thinking? Absolutely ridiculous. Yet again, they're being legitimized by the media, by Labour MPs, by idiots like Richard Branson, who is also calling for a second referendum, and by billionaire globalists, insider trading crocs like George Soros. And isn't it ironic that all these, quote, anarchists are out there on the streets protesting in favor of the political establishment, in favor of the status quo, protesting in favor of the big banks? I mean, leftists are all suddenly concerned about Barclays Bank losing some money. Again, they're complete frauds. So now we got Soros. We got this article out of Breitbart. Soros, Brexit vote must be overturned or the European Union is doomed. The Hungarian-American open borders advocate and billionaire George Soros has declared Brexit could easily be overturned. You know, that pesky democracy causing problems once again. And that the European Union must then be remade with power transferred from national governments to EU bodies. Again, exactly as we saw yesterday, they're talking about scrapping the last remaining vestiges of sovereignty that these countries have got in a desperate last-minute bid to solidify, to integrate into that political federal superstate that they had planned all along. Meanwhile, all these countries are going to be asking for a referendum. This is going to be a domino effect. But don't think they're going to go quietly into the night. As I said, they're trying every trick in the book to sabotage this. Soros went on to slam illiberal democracies like Hungary, which he said must be remodeled on European values. Oh, you mean countries like Hungary that actually try to protect their own borders, that try to preserve any kind of national identity whatsoever? This creature is a total enemy of everything that's good, everything that's sovereign, everything that's independent. Mr. Soros was appearing on a panel at the annual council meeting of the European Council on Foreign Relations. On the topic of Britain's EU referendum, he claimed that the British public were shocked that voters chose Brexit and stated those who voted Leave had genuine buyer's remorse. Well, as I pointed out before the break, you actually look at the polls, only 1% of Leave voters are unhappy. Only 1% regret their vote, according to the polls. Meanwhile, 4% of Remain voters are happy with the referendum result. Again, suggesting that 4% regret their vote on the Remain side. So it's 4-1. And yet you've got this entire media narrative, which is now being seized on by Soros, claiming that, oh, we were just too dumb and stupid to understand the consequences. Now we regret what we did and we're so sorry. And let's have another referendum because we don't really know what we're doing. Let's just hand back power to the technocrats and the experts because they know what's best for us. Complete and utter BS. And again, as I predicted, we've got people within the British political establishment trying to sabotage the Brexit vote. This is not just coming from Brussels. In fact, many voices in Brussels have been more urgent to get this process done because they want to move on quickly. They've been totally embarrassed. But here in the UK, it's a different story. Here's another headline. Farage, Tory leavers already backsliding on referendum outcome, effectively selling out. UK Independence Party leader Nigel Farage, who of course gave the historic speech in front of the EU Parliament earlier today, has raised questions over Boris Johnson and leaders of the official Tory-led Vote Leave campaign, claiming that he believes they are backsliding over the referendum result. And of course, he's right. They've been largely absent in the 4 or 5 days since the referendum vote. suggesting that they're not even that keen on triggering that Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty and getting this done, getting us out of the EU, following through on what the British people voted for. This is another thing I warned about. Many of the people who were spearheading that Vote Leave campaign were compromised. That's why they didn't even bring up the topic of immigration, which was one of the key issues which swung the vote in the end, until the last minute. So they're compromised. Now they're recommending all these people to lead the Conservative government, who are globalists. Boris Johnson himself has been almost completely absent in the 4 or 5 days, you know, since the referendum. Dan Hernan, MEP, who is a member of the official Leave campaign, and parts of the Tory establishment have long advocated a Leave light settlement as first exposed by Breitbart. Vote Leave boss Dominic Cumming is on record saying that he thinks a second referendum is a distinct possibility and believes the UK should not invoke Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty. So the exact thing we voted for, the very people within the Vote Leave campaign right at the top are saying, well, maybe we'll just take our time on this. We'll drag our heels a little bit and maybe we won't invoke Article 50. No, that's not good enough. That's not what we voted for. So all that energy, all that vitriol that was directed towards the opposite side during this Brexit campaign, it looks like we're now going to have to switch that to the people who actually won the referendum. And again, this was all painfully predictable from the very beginning. You know, Farage has got his unfavorable ratings in the UK. He's a divisive figure, but at least he's honest. And he's the one calling them out. And that's why we need to continue to hold their feet to the fire and continue to deride, debunk, discredit and ridicule these idiot social justice warrior leftists who are out on the streets of London every day basically calling for old white people to die or at least have their voting rights stripped from them, calling for democracy to be annulled. Absolutely shameful, given the fact that they're completely, completely misinformed. I mean, you've seen the videos. As I said earlier, there's literally a video of a 22-year-old girl in London crying because she thinks that the UK leaving the EU means that the Nando's restaurant chain will be closing. And they had the temerity to call Vote Leave supporters, quote, low information. You saw the video up yesterday on Infowars.com of the young woman, the Vote Remain supporter, saying how upset she was that now the government wouldn't pay for her to travel to France because we're going to leave the EU. Saying that now everybody's opinions won't be the same because we're going to leave the EU. This is the level of information that these complete idiots are basing their opinions on. So we're going to continue to watch that. But now we're running out of time, so we're going to go to this Faith Goldie clip. A school in Canada, a high school in Canada, which has been admitting Syrian refugees, has basically been covering up. Finally, the emails have been released. These 22-year-old Muslim migrants with full beards, well-built, they've allowed them to attend the high school, and now they're hitting on 14 to 15-year-old girls. Here's that clip.
I never intended on becoming the voice for North American children victimized by our government's sloppy Syrian migrant policies. But regrettably, that is exactly what it's come to. Viewers might remember my trip to Halifax earlier this year, interviews with Nova Scotia parents, teachers, and elementary school students at Chibucto Heights revealed a school-sanctioned cover-up. Muslim migrant boys in a Canadian school slapping, choking, and threatening young schoolgirls almost daily. A principal unwilling to discipline the delinquents and a school board that dismissed the allegations as a byproduct of bigotry. Well, after we ran that report right here on the Rebel.media, we launched an e-tip line, tips at the Rebel.media, where we encourage anyone whose child was being bullied without recourse to contact us so we could get to the bottom of it. One of the emails we received included a Facebook post. That post was made by a parent whose child goes to Fredericton High School in New Brunswick, Canada. The parent claims that school is bringing in, quote, an interesting mix of migrant students ranging from 11 to 22. 2 years of age. The parent claimed that some of the adult men in that school had full beards and were trying to hit on 14 to 15-year-old female classmates. But after being brushed off, these adult migrant men took to successfully hitting on the girls in the years below. The parents said that the Canadian boys at Fredericton High School have become frustrated, but are too scared to speak up because, quote, they know how dangerous the "you're a racist" label will be for the rest of their lives. So we here at The Rebel followed up. We filed a Freedom of Information request with the school. We asked for any information regarding problems or issues surrounding the integration of Syrian migrant students at Fredericton High School. Well, we finally got some answers. Some 2,700 documents were sent our way, and we've been promised yet another batch sometime soon. What we found inside those documents is scandalous, if not fearfully expected. Emails between teachers reveal 20-year-old migrant men in classrooms with 14-year-old girls, aggressively challenging teachers and other students, particularly the girls. Migrant men using vulgar sexual language in Arabic in front of the girls in their classroom. The results of an opinion survey given to the Syrian migrants, in which shy of 20% said that marital rape and forced abortions are okay. Emails between staff complaining about at least one refugee who, when asked about his hobbies, said he liked RPGs, making loud noises and gestures as he answered. Also in those emails, a migrant desire for gendered apartheid prayer rooms and school buses, as young migrant girls divulge to teachers fears of their own brothers and their fathers. Teachers establishing lockdown procedures for the school's refugee assessment classroom because of safety concerns for the person conducting those interviews. Anti-Semitic bullying. Migrants targeting their Jewish peers. Now, an appropriate examination of all the red flags we found in those 2,700 pages would be impossible to do in just one video clip. That is why I'll be releasing one video every day until my show, On the Hunt, airs this Thursday night with the full report. In these updates, I'll wade deeper into Fredericton High School's dirty little secrets, an imported war on women, budding radicals in the classroom, and how political correctness is preventing a solution to that school's Syrian migrant mayhem. It's a report I wish I didn't have to file, but someone has to tell the other side of the story.
So that's the Rebel Media's Faith Goldie reporting on... Again, they've admitted these 22-year-old Muslim men into this high school. There's another report she came out with afterwards where they're expressing excitement about the Brussels terror attack. Now, recall, we also reported on earlier this year how migrants at Chebukto Heights Elementary School were abusing other children, in one case choking a girl with a metal chain while yelling, "Muslims rule the world." This is the cultural enrichment that Canada's importing right now. Because it's trendy, it's politically correct. Of course, we got the situation as well in Idaho, where a five-year-old special needs girl was sexually abused by three migrant boys there in a laundry room, residents demanding answers over that, basically getting nothing back. So this is just a taste. Remember, to a far lesser extent, Europe's invited these people in at far greater numbers, and we'll get more into it after the break. We're also keeping track of that terrorist attack in Istanbul. Looks like the religion of peace has struck again. Final segment of the Alex Jones Show coming up soon. Breaking news at Infowars.com. Stay right there.
Come, you masters of war, here that build the big guns.
We're live to the final segment of the Alex Jones Show. Again, just want to direct you to the Infowars store at Infowarsstore.com. We got the all-new Hillary for Prison t-shirt 2.0. That's proven very popular in waking people up. Again, it's caused national news headlines in some situations. So get the all-new Hillary for Prison t-shirt at Infowarsstore.com, where we've also got 20% off Deep Cleanse, but that ends tonight, so be sure to get those specials at Infowarsstore.com. Again, we're tracking the situation in Istanbul. Two explosions have hit the main airport in Istanbul, a Turkish official has said, with reports of around 40 people being wounded. Gunfire was reportedly heard at Istanbul Atatürk Airport, while footage showed people running for cover. Turkish broadcaster Habertürk said that 40 people had been taken to hospital. Government officials said two suspects blew themselves up at the airport, Turkey's largest. Now, of course, they've suffered attacks from Kurdish militant groups, but from the MO, it looks like it could be Islamic State, despite the fact that Turkey's been funding arming Islamic State, treating their soldiers, allowing them to cross back and forth between the border. They've been hit once again. Another sterling illustration of why it was such a harebrained, ridiculous idea to stay in the EU, given the fact that millions of Turks expressed their desire to move to the United Kingdom, given that the EU is now talking with Turkey about them obtaining EU membership. Again, the Paris mastermind bragged that they had exploited this refugee wave, this migrant wave, to carry out those attacks. ISIS has bragged about it in numerous different instances. And now Turkey has been hit once again, so we'll continue to cover that at Infowars.com. More cultural enrichment news out of the Daily Wire. Muslim asylum seekers in Germany having a bad day, so they rape a woman. Again, that's how they justified this act. This woman was raped in a park. They justified the act in front of the judge by saying, well, we were having a bad day, so we just went ahead and did that. It's perfectly normal. And if you disagree with that, well, maybe you're an Islamophobe. We got the Pope saying that the church, the Catholic Church, should apologize to gays for the Orlando shooting. Yeah, I know that sounds ridiculous, but actually read the quotes. If you thought the Afghan Muslim who shot up the Pulse nightclub and pledged allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi of the Islamic State was to blame for the massacre, you're wrong. It was Christians, and they need to get to apologizing. Basically, at this point, the Pope is an unabashed Islamist. He needs to excommunicate himself. Now, in the aftermath of Brexit, we've still got these, quote, racist incidents occurring in the UK. Random drunk people and basically chavs hurling racial abuse at people on buses. National outrage being blamed on Brexit supporters. You know, millions of views on these videos on Facebook. Again, noticeably less concern about the 1,400 young girls in Rotherham alone that were abused by Pakistani Muslim rape gangs over the course of more than a decade. And of course, it wasn't only in Rotherham, it was in numerous other areas. The market has picked up again today. Well, what do you know? Godzilla didn't rampage through the streets. We didn't have another Great Depression after Brexit. Europe stocks closed 2.5% higher after 2 days of losses. FTSE up 2.5%. And again, the pound has also recovered many of its losses since the Brexit vote. So again, they fear-mongered about it. They said there would be a new Great Depression. They're going to blame any downturn in the market on Brexit. They're going to blame any ISIS terror attack in Europe on Brexit. That's the narrative they're trying to push to sabotage this vote. We can't let them do it. You have to hold that post-Brexit government's feet to the fire and demand they follow through on our democratic will. That's going to wrap it up for the show. InfoWars Nightly News coming up. Alex will be back tomorrow. Breaking news at InfoWars.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.